Welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday afternoon, 12th of January, 2026. Glad you're all here with us today. Big weekend of news to cover. Of course, I did the Sunday night show last night. We covered a lot there. We're going to touch on a lot of the topics that we covered there, but not spend quite so much time on the protest that broiled Minnesota over the weekend. But we've got a lot of Middle East news to talk about, and we're going to do a deep dive on Patagonia. We touched on it a little bit last night, but we're going to dig a little bit more into it since this has been a concern for the people of the region for several decades, actually. The idea that this pristine, you know, perfect area of land has been highly desired by, frankly, international criminals. And it looks like maybe they're making their move. So we'll get to that. We're also going to be joined by Peter Bystrom, who is a member of the AFD party and a member of the European Parliament. And then in the fifth hour, we'll be joined by Rex Jones, and we'll probably take your calls then. But a lot of stuff to talk about, so let's get into it, like we do every day, with your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 12th of January, 2026. Fed subpoenaed as DOJ launches criminal probe into Jerome Powell, who vows to, quote, stand firm. Not content with launching a dizzying cascade of international conflicts, Trump just lobbed a nuke at the Fed. While Trump's vendetta against the Fed's Lisa Cook set for a January showdown before the Supreme Court, the Trump administration dramatically raised the stakes on Sunday when New York Times first reported, and minutes later Fed Chair Jerome Powell confirmed that the U.S. Central Bank has been served grand jury subpoenas from the Justice Department threatening a criminal indictment in what Bloomberg said was a dramatic escalation of the Trump administration's attacks on the Fed. Good. It should be ended, in fact. We'll show you that video in just a little bit if we have time. But yes, they are apparently opening a criminal investigation into Jerome Powell, and he is not taking it lying down. And actually trying to frame the Fed as a fourth branch of government, which would be news to me, considering the fact that it is a private bank and there's absolutely no ability for an average American to have a say as to who leads them or what they do. So not part of our government, but more powerful than huge chunks of our government. Meanwhile, UK probes X over Grok CSAM scandal. Elon Musk cries censorship. CSAM standing for child sexual abuse material. Something I touched on a little bit on X, it's actually a big issue, and I don't know why Elon Musk is allowing Grok to be used like this, but essentially, if you ask Grok to, like, if a woman posts a picture and you ask Grok, hey, take her clothes off, it produces a fake image of the person naked, and that includes children. And it's just like, why would you not have protections against this? That is incredibly invasive and off-putting and is detrimental to your business, right? I mean, why would you encourage people to post pictures on X? Like, I'm never posting a picture of my kid on X. Well, Grok is doing this. Are you kidding me? And actually, Ashley St. Clair is sort of leading the charge on this, one of Elon Musk's baby mama. But I'm especially disturbed by Grok, you know, doing this and not having protections against it, because it's giving the UK exactly what they want, an excuse to intervene and to impose restrictions on AI. Like, just do it yourself. Internally, tell Grok, hey, don't take the clothes off of women without their permission. Are you kidding me? Do that so then the UK doesn't have an excuse to come in and impose restrictions, because that's going to be a big part of our story today, or our show today, is the insane attacks against free speech that are happening across the world, but particularly in Europe, and Elon Musk standing up against them, but here giving them a major avenue of victory. It's just ridiculous. Meanwhile, Trump briefed on strike options in Iran as over 500 protesters have been reported dead. Now, the protests in Iran have seemingly kind of wound down. Iran is basically saying they're completely over. Meanwhile, Israel is making a bunch of preparations that make it seem like it's not over by a long shot. Apparently, Israel just opened up all of their bomb shelters, and the hospital has been told to prepare for emergency situations. So, looks like the Middle East is the flames not dying down quite yet. And we'll return to that in just a little bit on the other side. Stay with us. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and father and a guy who loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
All right, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The War Room. Brought to you, of course, by TheAlexJonesStore.com. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We have a lot to talk about today, a heck of a lot. Some that we touched on yesterday a little bit, but I spent pretty much the whole 2 hours, or at least an hour 30 minutes of the Alex Jones Show yesterday, covering the protest. So we're not going to spend too much more time on that. I will let you know that the DHS is sending thousands or hundreds more. I think the count I saw was they're sending another 1,000 to join the 2,000 federal agents already in Minneapolis. So they'll be beefing up their numbers there, which is good to see. But there's a lot of other stuff going on as well. Feds probe hundreds of millions in suspected Somali cash in luggage leaving Minneapolis airport. The Transportation Security Administration flagged nearly $700 million in cash detected in passengers' luggage leaving Minneapolis airport the last 2 years, a massive cash exodus believed to be tied to Somali immigrants and their money couriers. Homeland Security told Just the News. The official said the cash movements out of Minnesota's largest airport began about a decade ago, around the time Governor Tim Walz took office, and has grown substantially in recent years. Though all were legally declared, according to U.S. Customs rules, the bundles of cash and luggage, some as much as $1 million on a single trip, raised regular suspicions among TSA agents. Mountains of dollars leaving the country is now being investigated by the Homeland Security Investigations Unit as part of a broader probe into the multi-billion-dollar fraud scheme centered around the state's Somali immigrant community, where dozens have been charged with or convicted of federal crimes. In March of last year, a federal jury convicted the head of a now defunct organization called Feeding Our Future in Minnesota for what prosecutors called the largest ever fraud of pandemic aid, which involved around $250 million. So we know where it's going to fund the terror networks in Somalia in giant bags of cash that they move through the airport. Only they declare it, so I guess it's fine. Far-left streamer Andrew Mercado leads mob surrounding Nick Sortor and Can Higby in car, smashing window and threatening violence. So we saw the video of this over the weekend, Cam Higby and Nick Sortor being assaulted, their car's windows being broken, being spray-painted, and their lives being threatened by the people just outside. What we've learned now is that that mob was being led by a streamer. Far-left streamer Andrew Mercado was caught on camera over the weekend threatening journalist Nick Sortor outside Minneapolis's Whipple Federal Building. This comes just days after the streamer says he was going to harass the F out of right-wing propagandists. Mercado was seen approaching the driver's side door in the car Sortor was in, saying, "I'll knock you out. I'll get the whole effing state down here. I swear to God I will." He added later, referring to fellow journalist Cam Higby, "Shut up, Cam. You can come out and get some, too." So see, what I would do if I was the Trump administration is I would say this man, just like, again, I've said this before, we need a new face act. That's something along the similar lines, because what this guy is doing is very obviously depriving American citizens of their First Amendment right. You don't have a right to threaten people that if they want to come out and participate in a political demonstration that you're going to kill them or hurt them in any way. So I look forward to seeing this man arrested. I look forward to his mugshot. I look forward to everybody he's ever interacted with or talked to coming under RICO charges, just like they did on January 6th. Of course, we're not going to see anything like that anytime soon. Why not? Because people in power are trying to drive us towards civil war, and they don't want to take the easy way out, which is just enforcing the law and arresting the criminals, and then everything goes back to normal. They don't want that, so that's not what's happening. Worst of the worst, ICE arrests child rapists, murderers, and other criminals in Minnesota enforcement surge. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has revealed that the arrests have been carried out by the agency in Minnesota, include numerous child rapists, murderers, and other criminals. This comes as left-wing politicians have attempted to demonize the agency after an ICE agent shot a woman in Minneapolis who drove into him. Regardless of staged political theatrics, ICE is going to continue to arrest the worst of the worst criminal illegal aliens in Minnesota and elsewhere. ICE Director Todd Lyons said of the criminals arrested in the press release, some of these criminal aliens have had final orders of removal for 30 years, but they've been free to terrorize Minnesotans. ICE's arrests prevent recidivism and make communities safer, but it feels like local politicians want to ignore that part and drum up discontent rather than protect their own constituents. Maybe it seems like that because of how much they say that's what they're doing. Arrest them all. This from National Pulse, same story. Somali couriers move almost $1 billion in cash out of Minneapolis over the last several years. In 2024 to 2025, Minneapolis Airport said that they moved nearly $700 million in cash directly out of our country and into the hands of terrorists. Somalia, you know, the thanks we get for helping out these poor, you know, beleaguered refugees. It's a mistake we shouldn't make again. But like I said, this still seems to me, I still have sort of the same interpretation I did last week, which was this doesn't... We know that the left is training their people and getting their people, you know, geared up, waiting for the excuse, waiting for that, you know, final whatever happens. In this case, it was this woman being shot. But it doesn't feel like it has quite the impetus that they were expecting. Like, it's been a few days. Things are already kind of dwindling a little bit. Doesn't have the same staying power that George Floyd did. But remember, this is exactly what happened in 2020 with the Ahmaud Arbery case for sort of getting the engine started and revving up, only for the next big event to be the one that kicks off the, you know, city-destroying protest. But obviously the left is just feels completely, you know, unbound by law or decency or anything and are attacking innocent people, knowing that they can do so with impunity because not only are the local police and local law enforcement on their side and working with them, collaborating with them and protecting them, but that the Republicans will do nothing to fight for their people ever for some reason. It really is infuriating and inexplicable how the people we've elected to solve this problem in particular are refusing to do absolutely anything to fulfill any of our demands. Let's go to clip number 15 here. This is Bovino, Greg Bovino, who's been a sort of spokesperson for Border Patrol recently, explaining that the problem is we're surrounded by mindless idiots. Let's go to this video now.
And as they arrest those individuals, we have members of the community, some of those weaker-minded constituents that fall victim to Waltz and Fry's rhetoric, actually coming against us as we arrest those individuals. That's amazing to me. Did they...
Weak-minded individuals, that is certainly one way to put it. One way to put it. But again, these people don't know or care about what's going on. They're weak-minded, yes, but that's not really an excuse. I mean, weak-minded people still know stealing things is wrong, right? These people are something else. These people are something... frankly, to me, a bit more, you know, terrifying. Let's go to clip number 25 here. This is a reporter going around asking the people protesting in Minneapolis, protesting ICE, what they think about Somali fraud. Let's watch.
How do you feel about the Somali fraud in Minneapolis?
I'll be honest, I haven't researched it a lot, but from what it looks like to me is it looks like it's a made-up concept from people trying to smear Governor Waltz.
I checked into that a little bit, right? There's nothing going on there. There's like this edgelord going around stirring up his mega conservative base, but none of this stuff is rooted in truth and reality, and I think if you just go out, you know, do your own research, like actually do that. Like go and just like look at video evidence. Come to a realistic opinion about what's going on in the world. It's a scapegoat, right, for anti-Somali immigration hate.
I don't know much about the Somali fraud Sounds like bullshit.
So there's a question as to whether it is a fraud. I don't know. I'm not following that real closely. Uh-huh. So I will reserve judgment on that.
I mean, I think that they were just using this as an excuse to go in there and scare people and show that they can be really powerful. I don't think it's authentic at all.
At Davy Jacks on Instagram. I mean, they don't know. They just don't know. They don't care. They haven't looked into it. They're not interested because they just assume that if it's from a right winger, it's probably fake. Again, just they're just asserting that. They have absolutely no reason to believe that. I mean, that this is what I'm saying. It sucks. It really does. But we have to stop trying to get through to these people. I mean, honestly, it's a fool's errand. You're going to try to convince these people to like sit down and watch a video that shows how wrong they are. Like, they're just not going to do it. They don't care. They really don't care. I mean, it's everywhere. It's not just us talking about this. It's the local news going on about this. Let's go to clip number 27 here. Authorities in Minnesota, here's a report about just some of the hundreds of millions of dollars that's been robbed from Minnesotans through fraud and sent to a foreign state. On their local news. They don't know about this, though. Let's watch.
We're going to turn our attention back to the Somali fraud investigation. As we've discussed before, authorities have discovered suitcases containing hundreds of millions of dollars in a Minnesota airport. Now, in the meantime, Republicans are working to cut funding for Somali-led organizations with alleged ties to the massive fraud scandal. Now, as the FBI pushes forward with its own investigation, one key question arises. What does accountability even look like in this case moving forward? So joining us now to talk about all of this and more is New York Congresswoman Claudia Tenney. Congresswoman, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Hey, great to be on with you, too. What a crazy time we're seeing here, aren't we?
Absolutely insanity. And I know oversight in the House is looking into these fraud allegations, but I wonder if it's even bigger than
all right,
we
so
have uncovered.
Again, that's just, I mean, again, we've barely scratched the iceberg, like barely scratched the tip of the iceberg. I mean, it's so unbelievably huge, the fraud, and not just in Minneapolis, but all over the world. Let's go to clip number 17 here. Again, I mean, this is what these protesters don't know, don't care about. Why don't they care about this? I couldn't possibly tell you. I don't know. It's just as baffling as them supporting the Iranian regime that is literally the cartoonish villains that they think that, you know, white males are. I mean, it's baffling. It's nonsensical. It's literally just madness on, you know, a population scale. It really is kind of disturbing because you can't run a country with people like this. You honestly can't. I mean, there's nothing partisan about any of this. Somebody is stealing money from your government's welfare. Like, how are you not against that? I don't even like welfare. I don't want it being stolen by the hundreds of billions of dollars. So, again, are you going to try to get through to these people? It's people that think that Donald Trump is a Nazi and that the Iranian mullahs are progressive. Like, I don't even really care about the Iran. Frankly, I kind of wish Trump would take maybe just a lesson or two from Iran about how to shut down giant fabricated foreign funded protests, but that's put to the side because the left is genuinely insane. If you've ever dealt with a genuinely insane person, you don't try to reason with them, okay? Let's go to clip 17 here. This, again, is something that the left just doesn't care about. Widespread, proven fraud. Now, again, I don't expect the left to care about it. I don't, you know, depend on the left caring about it. I want Trump to move on these. I want the DOJ to arrest all of these people. And they can complain and whine about it all they want. They don't have to understand why they're being arrested. They've committed a crime. Why can we not arrest them? Clip number 17.
This was definitely the most egregious thing I have seen, maybe in my whole time working at OLA.
Office of the Legislative Auditor released a damning report finding state employees fabricating records to cover up mismanagement of money, tax money. It's another black eye for the State Department of Human Services.
27 years with the Office of the Legislative Auditor, a statement like that from Judy Randall means something. After past suspicions, she says her most recent audit proved state workers were fabricating documents to cover up mismanagement of taxpayer money.
So these documents should exist. They didn't. We asked for them. All of a sudden, they now exist. And in at least one case, it was created wholesale and backdated by 2 years to give the impression that it had always been there and been done on time.
The OLA audited the Behavioral Health Administration within the Department of Human Services, which issues grants, nearly $200 million of taxpayer money each year, to addiction and mental health service providers. But the audit found BHA was not making sure those providers were doing the work.
BHA didn't conduct the site visits. Our auditors went and conducted the site visits that BHA should have done. And we identified serious concerns that services weren't being provided.
One of the grants examined by OLA was $1.6 million issued to the Wellness Collaborative through Zion Baptist Church in North Minneapolis. According to the OLA report, BHA didn't have documentation to give auditors to show that the services were rendered. What's more, the audit says the grant manager directly profited by leaving BHA and months later providing consulting services to the Wellness Collaborative for the grant she managed, which Randall says is not illegal.
But I think it raises a bunch of ethical questions at the very least.
Representatives at Zion strongly dispute what BHA and DHS told the auditors. They tell Care 11 DHS sought them out for the grant. They provided services which DHS workers witnessed. They gave DHS documentation, and they say now they believe they're being scapegoated. The former grant manager told Care 11 any wrongdoing falls squarely on DHS.
Conduct a monitoring visit to make sure the services are actually being provided. These aren't rocket science types of things.
Perhaps most frustrating, this was the second audit of the Behavioral Health Administration, and many of the problems found were repeat problems.
What is it like to see these problems, make these recommendations, and nothing is done to fix it?
It's exhausting. It's exhausting.
Yes, yes, it is unbelievably exhausting, and it goes on and on. Let's go to clip 39 now. HUD Secretary Scott Turner just released a bombshell report that found an immense amount of grifting going on when it came to the money allocated for helping the less privileged be housed. Let's watch.
When you have over 12 million people coming over our borders unchecked, unvetted, this is straining our housing market from a supply standpoint, from an affordability standpoint. HUD just put out a report and found that between 2021 and 2024, the foreign-born population in our country in just 3 short years is 6 million people, which is the most in that period of time in American history. And so we cannot forego the thought that because of illegal immigration, because of people coming to our country, prices have risen, supply has been squeezed, but we're working very hard at HUD, along with the president and other leaders in the administration, to bring down the cost and raise the supply when we're doing it through interagencies. But we need the Fed to cut rates. We need to continue to deport illegals that are taking houses from the American people. So we're very intentional and focused about it at HUD and across the administration.
Yeah. And that.
So whether it's housing, whether it's education, child care, I mean, it's not only is the amount of money poured into it and the amount of graft and corruption anyway driving up house prices on its own, like even if it was all legitimate, it's still a bad thing for the vast majority of Americans. Add on top of that, that all the money poured in is stolen and sent overseas. I mean, it is our government is a criminal conspiracy, essentially, which is why the criminals involved don't like it being investigated. Let's go to clip 40 here. Ilhan Omar is very angry that fraud in Minnesota is being investigated. Let's watch.
I'm so exhausted in trying to ask what any of this, information has led to you finding any criminals that you have indicted, that explains why you are wasting so much of our taxpayer resources and also terrorizing our communities in the amount of federal law enforcement agents that you have in the streets of our city and our state. There needs to be some sort of justification.
Okay, the justification is billions of dollars of fraud, you stupid bint. Like, what the hell are you talking about? She's worried about the wasting of resources. Okay. Well, if that's what you're concerned about, I have a one-stop easy solution. to free up just billions of dollars in resources. It send you and everybody like you back to the hellhole you came from. You stupid woman. I mean, why is she still in this country? Why is she still in this country? It doesn't make any sense. She lied on her intake form. She said she was married to her brother to get him in. She's just, her entire existence in America has been one long act of grifting and fraud. Why is she still here? Why is she in charge of anything? Why is the Trump administration, well, why are they such squibs? Why are they such incompetent losers? Honestly. Well, we're at the breaking point here. Now, apparently we are hearing about grand juries being summoned. Okay. We are hearing about charges being laid against people like John Brennan and others. Let's go to this clip from George Papadopoulos. This just dropped. And I don't necessarily, it's looking a lot like hopium to me, but we'll listen to it anyway. Here's George Papadopoulos saying that basically the entire Democratic Party is going to be charged under RICO as one big criminal conspiracy, which they are, and they should. Let's watch.
The FBI, the DOJ, the DNI, and the CIA are all looking at a 10-year-long government conspiracy case in which they're likely going to look at RICO charges, look at the Democrat Party and the left as some sort of criminal organization writ large, and people like Brennan, Obama, Comey, and the upper echelons of the Democrat Party are all now in the crosshairs of this grand jury that will be impaneled just today.
So good. I would love if that was true. I'd love to see the arrests being made. I mean, that's the point of me showing you all these things, right? The HUD scam, the Ilhan Omar, the Somali scam. I mean, it's all this giant self-serving network, right? The Democrats get elected by their, you know, ethnic cohorts that themselves have been brought in specifically to hand over a congressional district to a particular ethnic group. They vote for their people. Their people protect the fraud, end the investigations that would uncover it. Some of the money that's stolen fraudulently gets funneled back into the campaigns to guarantee that they, you know, remain on in position to protect these groups. And the populations themselves, the Somalis, vote as a block. They're told who to vote for by their community leaders, and they do it. So you get those community leaders on your side by funneling them a couple million dollars of stolen taxpayer funds, and you're set for life, and you're good. Like, that is a giant criminal conspiracy, robbing taxpayer dollars to give to their patrons in return for votes and bringing more people over, or, you know, giving them citizenship by the back door or whatever other act of fraud and illegitimacy that they want to bring to American shores. So why are we not confronting them and attacking them with the same fervor that they attack us with? It doesn't make any sense. DHS is sending hundreds of more federal agents to Minneapolis. Election officials in Oregon, by the way, have begun purging rolls of inactive voters and have already found 800,000 registrations. Nearly a million registrations should never, you know, be allowed on the voter rolls. And that's about 20% of the entire voter population in Oregon. So, you know, like, our system has just been fraudulent forever. Admitted to voting on all four ballots, a woman allegedly cops to voter fraud in 2024 election because, of course, she did. It was a apartment manager who simply took people's ballots and voted on their behalf. I wonder how many times that happened all over the country. We're told never, because the people who are in favor of the crime are lying to us. We'll be back on the other side. I'm going to get into how Europe is desperately trying and failing to silence everybody in the world. And we'll be joined by a member of European Parliament in the next hour. Stay with us, folks. A lot more up ahead. Don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Come to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. Just a few more things about the protests over the weekend. First, let's go to clip number 14 here. This is Real Britt Hughes explaining the psychological phenomenon behind most of the protests that we see these days. I think she hits the nail on the head here. Let's go to clip number 14.
Don't come on my page and say that people should be in this country legally. Don't do it.
No! No! Shame! Shame!
He shot her because she was queer.
Are we f***ing great yet? Are we a great country? Is this what is f***ing great?
A lot of people are wondering right now how in the world a person's brain ends up like this, because this is not how healthy, happy people act. Let me explain. Liberal women are what happens when the natural female instinct to nurture and defend and care for gets misdirected away from families and children and misapplied to whatever the liberal cause of the week is. See, women have an innate instinct to support and emotionally connect to vulnerable people. We are designed to be mama bears. And in the absence of a stable and healthy home and family, A woman will find a place to put all of that. The natural instinct to sacrifice yourself for your children gets misapplied in all the wrong directions. You want to know why so many liberal women are out there playing hero for criminal aliens and gender-confused perverts and cultures that hate them? It's because they believe they have identified groups of people who need them when no one else does. We destroyed the family, and we handed a generation of women a bunch of feminist lies and progressive slop in its place. And this is the...
Bing. Yep, she absolutely nailed it. I think she's exactly right. You'll actually find some of the more lucid protesters acknowledging this. I've seen videos of women, you know, being like, well, I'm 50 and I don't have any kids, so I got to spend this energy somewhere. Like, oh, okay, criminals, rapists, that's where you decide to send your protection. That's messed up. That's messed up and retarded, but okay. So we've shown it before. It's like the beaver trying to, you know, create a dam in a hallway. It's misfiring instinct is what we're witnessing here. Let's go to clip 34. This is DHS Kristi Noem, not one of the women infected by this brain virus, talking with Jake Tapper and really exposing him, I think. She does a great job here. Clip 34. This is DHS Secretary Kristi Noem on with Jake Tapper.
I'm just waiting for the investigation to come through. I'm wondering if you're not doing a disservice to the officer by reaching a conclusion before the investigation takes place.
I haven't heard you say once what a disservice it's done for Mayor Fry to get up and to tell ICE to get the F out of his city. And AOC to stand up before she had any of the facts and call this officer a murderer. For individuals, well, call them out, Jake. Spend as much time calling them out.
Okay.
I have provided you with facts and information to back up every single word that we have said and every single part of this investigation. And if you don't like it, that's fine. But we're going to continue to do the right thing to keep the American people safe.
I know that you'd like to make me the topic of this and not what happened, but...
No, she's pointing out your insane hypocrisy, sir. Your obvious bias in favor of the Democrats. Kristi Noem is out there going, hey, we stand by our agent. We stand by our officer. From our perspective, it looked like self-defense, and he, you know, used his lethal force appropriately. That's what it appears like. Meanwhile, on the other side, you have Democrats going, they murdered this woman in cold blood. She was trying to drive away and escape them when they gunned her down for no reason. They're not just jumping to conclusions. They're lying about it. They're jumping to false conclusions that they know are false in order to incite and whip up the ire of their constituents. But he says Kristi Noem is maybe, you know, jumping the gun on this. Maybe she's the one that, you know, needs to be a little bit more careful with, you know, jumping to conclusions. But he wouldn't say the same for the people that are lying about this and deliberately inflaming tensions across the board. One final video on this topic here, and then we'll move on to what's happening around the world with free speech. But let's go to clip 32 here. This is from David Cate. Proof that all the left-wing riots and protests nationwide are in fact coordinated, organized, and funded. Let's watch.
Who's this woman in the red shirt coordinating with local Atlanta police at an anti-ICE protest that escalated into a riot with tear gas and riot police deployed? For every new 100 followers, I'll expose a new group. She's a professional paid protester. Let me show you how. Here she is at the International Workers' Day protest. Here she is again at a pro-Iran rally, at an anti-Trump demonstration, and leading a protest outside Atlanta's Icefield office. And she's never alone, always accompanied by the same woman who I've nicknamed Crazy Babushka. Here they are together at multiple Atlanta protests. So here's footage of me asking them, what group are they affiliated with?
What does your shirt say?
It says Party for Socialism and Liberation. I'm an organizer
Liberation.
With the PSL.
Okay, Liberation okay. For what?
Liberation for all oppressed nations and all nations fighting against U.S. imperialism.
Their highly organized and coordinated efforts prompted me to investigate their funding. And what I uncovered is a scary foreign influence campaign. The Party for Socialism and Liberation distributes funds to its chapters across the country, including those in Atlanta and Los Angeles. These funds are used to pay protesters like the woman in the red shirt to organize and attend demonstrations. This is the same group that is behind the recent LA riots. Notice the red shirts in LA matching those I filmed in Atlanta? Their funding comes from a $20 million donation by a nonprofit run by Nival Roy Singham, who's wife serves as a board member of that nonprofit. It's simple. $20 million is funneled to the United Community Fund, which then funnels money to PSL. The leader of the PSL, Claudia De La Cruz, also holds a leadership role in the People's Forum, a New York City hub where organizations like the PSL meet and strategize. Between 2017 and 2022, Singham donated $20 million to the People's Forum. Singham, a self-described socialist, lives in China where he regularly meets with Chinese Communist Party officials and attends their events. And that is how these protesters can afford to protest every single day.
Because they're paid to do it, which would mean that they are, probably easily defined as a criminal network, considering the fact that it is illegal to travel from state to state starting riots. What? It's literally a law. It is a law that if you cross a state line and then participate in a riot, it is a federal law that you have broken. The Trump administration could be going after all of these people for doing exactly that. Why aren't we? I'll leave that up for you to decide. But I want to talk about what's happening in Europe and really around the world. And I want to start off talking about what truth itself even is. Before I do that, I do want to remind you that today is the last, or this week rather, is the last week of our crossover giveaway. Every purchase on the alexjonesstore.com gets you 50 times entries to win our Ford Raptor plus $10,000 in cash, plus our F-250 diesel truck plus $10,000 in cash. That's two badass trucks and $20,000 in cash that you can win this week only by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Anything you purchase gets 50 entries per dollar you spend. We actually just gave away our Jeep 392 plus $10,000 in cash to Chris from Colorado Springs. We flew him out to the Bigley headquarters, and he drove home a brand new Jeep with $10,000 cash burning a hole in his pocket. That could be you next. Somebody's got to win it. Why not you this week? You can double up on your entries by going to thealexjonesstore.com, taking advantage of some of our awesome sales, including our new knife. Oh, here's Chris from Colorado Springs winning the truck with the, Bigley team. That could be you, folks. All you got to do is go to thealexjonesstore.com, support this singular outlet for free speech and Americanism, and drive home with a wad of cash. Very fun. thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Now let's start with clip number five here. This is a creator named Jeff T. Franzen talking about Plato and the importance of truth and the fundamentals of our Western philosophy. And just to remind us what we're pursuing here, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Clip five.
Plato warned, when society stops valuing truth, it becomes addicted to pleasure. Because when truth doesn't matter, all that's left is, does this feel good? Am I entertained? Does this validate me? Plato called this the death spiral of civilization. Politics becomes entertainment, news becomes gossip, and education becomes content. Nobody asks, is this true anymore? They only ask, does this trigger the right emotions? Plato called this the tyranny of appetite, where desires rule over reason. And once pleasure becomes the highest value, society collapses, because pleasure doesn't unite. No, it divides. Everyone will be chasing their own dopamine hits. No shared truth, no common ground, just endless consumption. Plato predicted exactly what we're seeing, a civilization drowning in distraction and calling it freedom. We stopped asking what's true and started asking what feels good, and that's how society dies.
That's very true, and actually goes a lot deeper than that, but I thought that was an appropriate thing to play today in particular. When you have this story, Texas A&M professor told to remove Plato reading from philosophy course. As universities across Texas respond to new restrictions on classroom content, a directive limiting Plato readings at Texas A&M University has prompted concern among scholars who say it crosses into academic freedom. At issue is the directive given to Professor Martin Peterson, who was told Tuesday to revise his course syllabus after university officials raised concerns that some Plato readings could violate the Texas A&M University System's new rules restricting discussions of race, gender identity, or gender ideology, and sexual orientation in core classes. But they're not the only ones doing it. Of course, as we talk about Europe descending into a anti-free speech totalitarianism, Plato readings removed from philosophy course, igniting online controversy. This happened in Oxford, I believe, as well. But this, it's basically happening all over. They're removing Plato by claiming that because he discusses race or because he discusses sex, You can't talk about sex or race in college universities? Okay. It's a little odd. If you can't teach Plato in a philosophy class, what can you teach? Well, we just heard pleasure. The endless, you know, morality of pleasure seeking. But it gets more complicated than that. I did a full report on this a while ago. I should really go find it. Because actually, the secret to world domination is exposed in Brave New World, and it's exactly what that guy was just discussing. It's not just about fulfilling your pleasure. It's about the systems that control society dictating what you find pleasurable. If you find pleasure in long-term things, in things that take a lot of effort and sacrifice, if you find pleasure, and pleasure is not even the right word, if you find fulfillment in things that are difficult and, you know, long-lasting, then you're really an inconvenience. What they want is you desiring nothing but the things that can be fulfilled immediately. They don't want you to desire a legacy with children and grandchildren. That's a lifelong kind of thing that you're going to be dedicated to. They want you desiring sexual gratification and, you know, gourmet food and likes on your Instagram post. And as long as that is the height of your desire and the totality of your, fulfillment, then they can fulfill that and make you dumb and happy. But if your desires are more uplifting and ambitious, then that's kind of an issue. So Klaus Schwab actually talks about this and references this design. Mustafa Mond in Brave New World explains it outright. He basically says, you know, the pain, humans experience pain in that gap between a desire and the fulfillment of that desire. And so in order to minimize pain that humans experience, they want to minimize that gap between the desire and the fulfillment of the desire. And so the best way to do that is to dictate that all of your desires are sexual or carnal in nature, and you can pretty much immediately fulfill them and be happy. And so they're creating happiness by making sure that nobody desires anything that's difficult or just, you know, means you have to work hard or have discipline or that it takes a long time to achieve. That's pain, according to the people in charge. So it's actually more complicated than even, you know, Plato understood that once these people understand the power of fulfilling somebody's pleasure, that's actually a way to enslave them. And our rulers have figured that out and are working double time to put us in that condition of immediacy. Immediate gratification being the only thing we desire. Let's go to clip 13 here, because as we start our jaunt around Europe and the European diaspora, like Australia, we'll see the real reason why free speech is being limited and restricted, and the little carve-outs and caveats that expose the real agenda behind it. Let's go to clip number 13. This is Prime Minister Anthony Albanese announcing that Parliament will be recalled to impose and, enforce massive restrictions and hate speech laws. Let's watch.
Today, can I say that I will write this afternoon to the Speaker of the House of Representatives for Parliament to be recalled next Monday and Tuesday, both the House of Representatives and the Senate. The legislation will then be debated on Tuesday in the House of Representatives. We intend to have that legislation pass the House before question time, which will occur at the normal time at 2 o'clock, and then will be considered by the Senate in the afternoon in order to ensure its passage on that day. The bill is the Combating Anti-Semitism, Hate and Extremism Bill. It's a comprehensive package of reforms which creates serious offences for hate preachers and leaders seeking to radicalise young Australians. It increases the penalties for hate crimes offences. It ensures that offenders whose crimes were motivated by extremism had that factored into their sentencing. It creates a new offence for inciting hatred in order to intimidate or harass. It expands and strengthens the ban on prohibited symbols, and it makes it easier for the Minister for Home Affairs to cancel or refuse a visa for people intent on spreading hatred. And it creates a new framework that will enable the Minister for Home Affairs to list organisations as prohibited hate groups. Once an organisation is listed, it will be a criminal offence to be a member, to recruit for it, to donate or receive funds or support that group in any way.
All right, so let's pause it right there. Do you understand what he's saying? I mean, they're issuing a new raft of hate speech laws that basically criminalise participation in any group that they deem to be hateful. So you don't have to actually have done anything. You don't have to actually have been around anybody who had done anything. If you merely apply to be a member of an organization that they've deemed illegal, you can be charged with hate crimes. And in fact, there's people like Joel Davis in prison right now in Australia, who is there for hate speech and is being charged with additional charges on top of what he's already being charged with these new laws that they came up with that they're now, you know, applying backwards to things that he did before it was illegal. So it's obviously just, it's the attempt to destroy free speech around the world and whatever excuse they need. Is it child sex material? Is it anti-Semitism and terrorist attacks? I mean, it doesn't matter, because the things that they're doing don't actually stop any of the things that they're predicating their actions on. Do you understand? And not in a vague way. The terrorist attack at Bondi Beach that inspired all of these hate speech laws was carried out by a Muslim, an immigrant. There are actually special carve-outs in the law that make it not apply to religious groups. Okay, so Australia is passing this big raft of hate speech laws on the back of this Islamic terrorist attack, but within the law is an exception for the types of people that carried out the terror attack. Religious institutions are actually allowed to commit hate speech in Australia. It's crazy, but that's literally true. From Oz Integrity at QBCC Integrity on X. Islamic extremist preachers reading or referencing texts which incite violence against non-believers are exempt from Albanese's new laws. Same goes for any religious extremism as long as it's referencing or paraphrased. Labor is genociding Aussies under these new laws. So subsection 1 does not apply to conduct that consists only of directly quoting from or otherwise referencing a religious text for the purpose of religious teaching or discussions. So that's like, I guess that's a fine caveat, because obviously one of the problems with the hate speech laws that are going in place, or they're trying to put in place places like America, is they would in fact ban portions of the Bible, right? If you have a part of the Bible calling Jews the synagogue of Satan, well, that's anti-Semitic. You can't read the Bible now. Well, okay, there should be carve-outs if you're going to have hate speech laws. I guess this is the way to deal with it. I'd rather not have hate speech laws. But there's also, you know, some organizations will be considered legitimate religious organizations while others won't. Now, I guess a workaround of this would be the Nazis in Australia to claim that they're part of a religious movement. They're Nazis by religion, and then Mein Kampf can be a religious text, and then you can read it with impunity if laws actually, you know, worked in the way that they're supposed to. A lot of people have spoken out about this. Obviously this is just an attempt to destroy the First Amendment or their equivalent, free speech in Australia, but it's happening all over the world. And I guess we'll begin with clip number 26, because this is the Australian Prime Minister arriving to a memorial for the victims of the Bondi Beach massacre. Let's see how he is received. Clip number 26. Bunch of people committing crimes here. Bunch of people committing crimes. Was it Albanese, the one who, during COVID, like, I don't even know what they're protesting about? I'm like, well, they're protesting you. He's like, well, that's illegal. Oh, well, that's illegal. You can't protest me. Maybe that has something to do with why all of these free speech restrictions are coming into place. After all, it's not just in Australia that this is the case. Let's go to clip number 7 here. This is Keir Starmer trying to walk through the streets of the country where he is the prime minister. Let's watch. Look, he's being booed. He's being yelled at. He's being harassed. He's being cursed at. Okay, are you starting to get an image of, like, what our democracies are really all about? That you have a bunch of elite rulers that are utterly despised by the people that they rule over, and so now they're imposing free speech restrictions to silence people's outrage about the policies that are destroying them and being pursued by the people that are supposedly their representatives in their democracy. Let's go to clip number 18. This is Ursula von der Leyen, head of the European Union. She tried to visit Bulgaria recently. Let's watch how that went.
Nazista! Nazista!
fascist and a Nazi and blocking her entrance and surrounding her car. Like, anywhere these people go, they are despised. Anywhere the leadership of Europe goes, they get booed, they get heckled, they get yelled at, they get shouted down, and it's happening everywhere. Clip 30, Chancellor Scholz overwhelmingly booed and condemned for fueling the war in Ukraine. Let's go to clip 30 here. This is him, I think, at a soccer game. Let's watch. Some sort of event like that. People whistling, people booing, warmonger shouting him down. Because I want to address a couple arguments that are being shouted so loudly in this room. First, warmonger. The warmonger's Putin. He took 200,000 people into Ukraine. So he's getting shouted down and yelled and called a warmonger by his people. Again, it's everywhere. It's everywhere, folks. Whether it's the leader of the UK, the leader of Australia, the leader of Germany, the leader of Italy, the leader of the European Union are despised by their own people. So now they're trying to silence them. In this video, I don't think we ever played it. We should have. It is the most iconic image of Europe at this moment that we've seen so far. Clip 42. This is Ursula von der Leyen saying that we have to fight Russia. Europe has to go to war with Russia because they arrest people who protest while a protester is actively being arrested directly in front of her for speaking back to her. Clip 42.
They can be happy that they are in a free country like Finland, where the free speech is a right, where they have not any restrictions.
And that's a protester being arrested.
They would be in jail in 2 minutes. This country has a democracy.
Remember, something like 12,000 people are in jail in the UK for speech offenses today. So that was Ursula von der Leyen, Chancellor of the EU, saying that, you know, we have to fight Russia because in Russia, they don't have the freedom to protest. You'd be in jail if you tried to protest in Russia while somebody is being manhandled by the police and hauled away to face hate crime charges for heckling Ursula von der Leyen. Is it becoming clear yet why the free speech restrictions are going into place? Why the laws are being legislated? Because these people don't have the will of their constituents. They don't have the will of the people. And they need people not to know that. They need to silence people about that. And they're going to really extreme lengths. Now there's a video game in the UK that kids in school are being forced to play. And if in the game they express uncertainty or an unwillingness to bring in migrants to the UK, then they're put on terrorist lists, official terrorist lists with the government. Children in like elementary school are being asked to play a game. Video game propagandizing them into hating their own country. And if they resist within the game tags their file and identifies them to the police as potential terrorists. Children. They're doing this to children. We'll be back on the other side. I'm going to be joined by a member of European Parliament to talk about this and so much more destroying that nation, that continent.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Merry Christmas!
That's fine, dude. I'm not mad at you.
Show your face!
I'm not mad at
you. That's okay, we don't change our plates every morning, just so you know. It'll be the same plate when you come talk to us later. That's fine. U.S. citizen, former you want to come at us? You want to come at us? I say go get yourself some lunch, big boy. Go ahead.
Out of the car. Get out of the car. Get out of the car. Oh.
Renee Nicole Good wasn't a lot of things, but she also wasn't someone that deserves to be used to further divide Americans by the desperation of a governor and a mayor drowning in an ongoing fraud investigation.
Our police, many of whom are Somali themselves, are trusted partners in keeping people safe. They will not collaborate with any federal agency around doing immigration enforcement work. They will not cooperate with ICE agents.
Minneapolis will continue to be a safe haven for undocumented immigrants.
In Minneapolis, we have your back. You will be protected and respected by our city employees, regardless of your immigration status. I have a message for ICE. To ICE, get the f*** out of Minneapolis.
Minnesotans, don't take the bait. Do not take the bait. Do not allow them to deploy federal troops into here. Do not allow them to invoke the Insurrection Act. Do not allow them to declare martial law.
She also doesn't deserve to be used by the Mockingbird media as gasoline to be thrown on a fire.
As the vehicle passes, you can see the dark-colored SUV driven by Renee Nicole Good. That's on the right there in the back. The surveillance video taken by a home nearby. Agents can be seen milling about near the vehicle, then converging on it. And then you see right there the SUV begins to move, and that's when the shots are fired.
There's not the slightest doubt in your mind, having viewed it, that the victim, you still believe that she deliberately tried to ram him despite seeing this video.
Look, I don't know what is in a person's heart or in a person's head, and obviously we're not going to get the chance to ask this woman what was going on. What I am certain of is that she violated the law. If people want to say that we should have a legitimate debate about, you know, what was she really doing, right? Was she panicking when she drove into this officer, or was she actually trying to ram him? That's a reasonable conversation. What's not reasonable is for so many of you to plaster all over the media that this was an innocent woman and that the ICE agent committed murder, which is what many of you have said explicitly and some of you have said implicitly.
She also wasn't at the wrong place at the wrong time. And she wasn't merely a legal observer. She was an anti-ICE radical and apparently knew exactly what she was doing.
They clearly wanted her out of there because she was the main car leading the protest, is my understanding. I talked to another guy who was driving behind her, but she was very she was very successful in blocking traffic. She was doing what she was set out to do, and so they wanted to get her the hell out of there. Yeah.
So it looked like she was impeding ICE vehicles.
Definitely, yeah. Okay. That was her goal.
Did you guys know that she had enrolled her kid in a charter school in Minneapolis that was training parents to fight ICE? Because she absolutely did. The New York Post has an article out where they dug into this Southside Family Charter School a little bit. Apparently, this school is where Renee Good, who was fairly new to Minneapolis, was introduced to ICE protesting in the first place. Oddly enough, this school sounds way worse than a leering sitter. It was opened in 1972 to have an unabashed focus on social justice education. No, really, this is straight from their website. We integrate social justice into every grade level, telling the stories of the people, not the people in power, and helping students understand history and their role in making the world a better place. A gym teacher who retired last month said that current events like George Floyd were a regular part of the curriculum. This is for little kids. So the article goes on to say that it was through her involvement with the community at Southside Family Charter School that Renee Good got involved with Ice Watch, a group dedicated to disrupting ICE.
And clearly her wife knew as well.
You want to come at us? I say go get yourself some lunch, big boy. Go ahead.
So as the left continues down this path, it appears that Renee Good will only be the first of many. John Bound, reporting for InfoWars.
Treats meals just right. Cook strong at high heat with a taste so bright. So get yourself to the Alex Jones store. Support the crew and the InfoWar.
Wake up, folks. Spread this message. The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation.
Don't worry. It's safe and effective. Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
Peeling back the layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Second hour is on. I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Peter Beistrin. He's a member of the European Parliament for Germany's Alternative for Germany, AfD party, and part of the Europe of Sovereign Nations group. Born in Czechoslovakia in 1972, he immigrated to Germany in 1987 and later became a German citizen. He served as AfD's Bavarian state chairman from 2015 to 2017 and was Bundestag member from 2017 until his election to the European Parliament in 2024. In the European Parliament, he sits on the Committee of Foreign Affairs, Employment and Social Affairs, and Internal Market and Consumer Protection. He's known for his views on immigration, EU policies, foreign affairs, and criticism of certain past government measures. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mr. Beistrin.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure always to be here.
Well, the pleasure is mine, and I have to say I'm very concerned about the way things are going in Europe as a whole, but Germany in particular. How do you see the current trajectory that Europe is on? What are your biggest concerns right now?
Well, you are not the only one who is really concerned about the situation in Europe, and and every corner is burning. You know, we have politicians who are pushing us into war against Russia. Which is really insane. We have infrastructure which is not working. We've got millions of migrants from Far East who are not compatible with our economy, society, and so on and so on. Just look at the latest happenings in Berlin. You know, this is incredible. This is the capital of Germany, and it was not able to repair the electricity for several days after an attack of the Antifa.
Yeah, and I have the story here. I've only mentioned it on my show, so I'd like to get into the details of it. Berlin blackout horror, deadly Antifa terrorism plunges frigid German capital into darkness for days. That's the headline at InfoWars.com. So, yeah, when you talk about the infrastructure of Germany, I mean, it's being destroyed in every possible way, right? I mean, the regulations are destroying the infrastructure. Antifa is blowing up the infrastructure, and apparently the skills are missing to repair it in a rapid way. I mean, this was a crazy story, and yet it's been treated by the
I read the article on InfoWars, and I have to say compliments. It's an excellent article. It shows how really incredible the situation in Berlin is. Just imagine there was a sabotage attack done by the Antifa, and 100,000 people were withheld power, electricity for days, not for hours, but for 4 or 5 days. Yeah. There is at least one dead, maybe two. The reports are now in the stage of to be confirmed, but this is confirmed that the one person died because of cold, you know. At the same time, you know, the asylum seekers were evacuated by the authorities, but the regular citizens, they were told, oh, you can go to a hotel. We negotiated a special rate for you. You pay just $70 a night, you know. Right. This is incredible.
It is. It absolutely is. Quoting from the article, citizens were casually told they could rent hotel rooms for 70 euros per night. At the same time, asylum seekers were evacuated from their housing within the first hours. Ordinary citizens received no assistance. No officials went door to door to inform residents, let alone provide food or hot soup. Only police patrols monitored neighborhoods and made loudspeaker announcements. And then this group, the Vulcan Group, took credit for the attack, basically said, yeah, we killed somebody. That was us. What's been the response from the German government? Anything?
Yeah. And before I come to this, I have to say one more thing. You know, there was for days, there was no electricity. And the first days, even the mobile phones did not work.
Right.
So the people, they had no access to the internet. They had no phones, no heating. And what did the stupid local government? They informed the people via internet.
Right.
You know, this is really insane how incompetent they are. And you say it, yeah. Antifa group called Volcano Group claimed responsible for this attack. And what is really astonishing, this group committed more than 11 separate arson or sabotage attacks within the last 14 years.
Wow.
Which clearly shows that the Antifa has a strong support within the Berlin government, within the Socialist Party, which is ruling there, you know. There are no really no serious nationwide manhunts or home searching, emergency alerts, nothing like this, you know, that they're letting them do for more than 10 years. Just imagine 11 attacks like this.
Meanwhile, the German intelligence says the AfD party is our domestic terrorists, or we, you know, whatever the phrase they have to label the AfD party as criminals. So you guys are surveilled and restricted. Meanwhile, Antifa, and actually in this article, written by Dan Lyman, he links a video he did in 2020 with you showing him through Berlin, showing him that Antifa ran entire neighborhoods in the capital city. I mean, this problem is baked in at this point, isn't it?
That was a great work by Dan Lyman at the time when he was a correspondent, European correspondent. He went with me directly to the headquarters of the Antifa. He was filming it. It's worth to see it because you see the scam, and we know that it will take just minutes and they will come. So we just dip in, filmed and went out. You know, this is tremendously dangerous. Because again, the structures in Berlin are really huge. They are founded by the government. They are receiving millions of euro, millions of US dollar. And there are several NGOs, everything funded by taxpayers' money. And the worst thing was when we have been with Dan at the occupied area, there were houses, complete houses occupied by Antifa for decades, you know, and we have been there when several thousand policemen were trying to kick them out. They kicked them out after 2 days and then was filming everything. So it's worth watching it.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it's not actually that surprising that the government doesn't stop them because they're sort of doing everything the government wants to do, right? They're predicating these attacks on stopping climate change and reducing CO2 emissions. And it's like, well, if a factory shut down because a regulation shuts it down, or it's shut down because it's firebombed, at the end of the day, they're sort of pursuing the same ends, huh?
Absolutely. And you mentioned the German domestic intelligence service, the secret service, and the former head of the secret service, Dr. Maaßen. He was criticizing, even in charge, when he was in charge, he was heavily criticizing the politics because of the collaboration with the Antifa. He said the Socialist Party considers Antifa as a sort of party internal terror group,
right?
To defeat the competition or the opposition. And he also said, you know, the left wing forces, they handle them with velvet gloves.
Yep.
And, you know, and this is exactly what is happening. On one side, the secret services are misused to oppress a legitimate democratic opposition like the AFD, to blame this party, you know, right wing and so on, which it is not, in fact, you know, but they are really manhunts and home searchings by ordinary people for posting something on Facebook, on TikTok in favor of the opposition. Or criticizing the government. Just one example, you know, next day, tomorrow, there will be a trial in Bavaria against the editor in chief, of a magazine who was publishing a meme, a really satirical meme with the picture of the interior minister with a piece of paper in her hand saying,
right,
I hate the freedom of speech. And he got 7 months jail for this. So this is what the authorities are doing. And at the other hand, they are not prosecuting terrorist groups like Antifa, who are publicly claiming having done an attack on infrastructure of the capital city of Germany. They blowing up electricity works. Hundreds, thousands of people have no heating, no light, no electricity for days. And the police is doing nothing against it. This is incredible.
And the way it's reported in the foreign papers, I think the BBC headline was something like, Antifa flicks off the light switch for parts of Berlin. Like they were treating it like, oh, you know, they say they sort of turned the lights off for a little while. I mean, they're so downplaying it. So obviously, this is a multifaceted operation, right? You've got the media downplaying it. You've got the politicians writing laws against it. You've got Antifa as the enforcement arm. I mean, this is brutal. How do you get out of this? I mean, how do you find a solution to this if you can't even discuss solutions to this? I mean, how do you deal with this situation?
Well, we may not discuss it, but we did. I proposed a total ban of Antifa as a terrorist organization at the party convention of the AFD in Bavaria. And this proposal passed with nearly 99%. So the whole AFD Bavaria stands behind it. It was, you know, we were inspired by Donald Trump in the United States. It was very close after my visit in Washington. I said, guys, so let's do it the same way like Trump in the U.S. Just kick their asses and let them forbid the Antifa as a terrorist organization. So we did. And this is just a question of time when we get to power. And the moment we are in the government, those guys will be very soon in prison.
Wouldn't that be nice? The terrorist going to prison. What a novel idea you have there, sir. I mean, it is.
Well, instead of ordinary citizens who posted something on Facebook, we will put the real criminals, the real terrorists in prison. What the deal, huh?
That's clearly you're an extremist. I mean, these are extremist ideas you're putting. I mean, it's so insane. We played the video on the last segment where Ursula von der Leyen is up there going, in Russia, you're get arrested for protesting while a protester is being arrested right in front of her. It's this type of stuff that, like, it is truly insane. It is completely nonsensical. I don't even know what, how we get back from this. Obviously, you know, getting people like yourself into power, would be a fantastic way to set things right. But they are doing everything they can to stop that from happening. Is it the parliamentary system that's so easily manipulatable? Because we've noticed that whether it's Germany or France or the UK, a lot of times the right wing really wins the election, but then the left wing and the center right form coalitions to keep them out. Same thing happens in Germany, right? How do you get past those types of roadblocks in parliament?
Yes, unfortunately, this is the meme for which the editor-in-chief David Bendels got 7 months prison. Yeah, this is the former interior minister,
amazing,
Nancy Faeser, saying, I hate the expression, the free speech. Yep. Which is, by the way, this is the
so truth. Ironic.
No, she really hates it. She was personally asking to charge him. So it was on personal written request of the interior minister that the police started the investigation.
Doesn't have it wrong. The meme wasn't even inaccurate. It was an accurate expression of what
absolutely.
She believes. It's crazy.
Absolutely. Maybe this is the reason why he was persecuted. Yeah. But really, in 2 days in the morning, Wednesday in the morning, there will be the trial. So watch it. You are totally invited to report about this. Even the mainstream media said this is incredible. This is really crazy what is happening in Germany and in Europe. And you mentioned, the democratic system, the violation of the democratic system. Yes. Indeed, we have a heavy problem because of the erosion of democracy in Europe, in Germany as well. We have a framework which is quite good. The constitution is good, but it was tunneled from inside. You know, the parties who are on power, they're misusing institutions like police, justice, the whole justice system. They took under control the most mainstream media. So it's really a huge problem. And it's not about left against right. I would say now it's about the globalist parties against the populists. And just let me explain in one sentence the term populist. A populist comes from populus, from a Latin word, which means the people. Mm. And we have few movements or parties which are really doing what the people wants. They are the true populists. And this is Donald Trump in the US. He won the election because he is true politician who is for the people. And then we have all the other parties, and they are not just left, center, whatever, you know, they don't care what they have been representing before. They just sticking to power, and they are promising the people before the election what they know that the people want to hear.
Right.
And after the election, they are doing completely the opposite, you know, like the Greens in Germany. They promised they were anti-war before the election. And immediately after the election, they started to support the war in the Ukraine, and they asked for more weapons and so on and so on.
Yeah. And man, there's so many aspects to this that I want to delve into you with, because the Ukraine war, I mean, it's just another layer of insanity that Europe is destroying itself. And then, as you know, the people of Europe are struggling financially and just with everything. They want to send them to go die in some frozen field in Russia. I mean, it is truly the most like wicked thing I've ever seen.
But ask yourself for what? Guess. Look, there are polls done by Gallup, by American agency Gallup, and they're saying 70% of the Ukrainians want to stop the war, and they are saying even if the Russians keep what they conquered, you know, they say, oh, come on, this is Eastern Ukraine. It's used to be a Russian all the time. They should keep it. The Ukrainians, they just want to stop the war. And second, there are more than 360,000 young Ukrainian men who could fight. Just in Germany, France, and Czech Republic, just in those three countries, there are more than the Ukraine has under armor now, you know. And they all escaped. They fled the country. They don't want to fight the war. There are many millions of Ukrainians who emigrated in both directions. People are not talking about this, but there are several millions of Ukrainians. They fled to Russia. They are living in Russia. Right. Nobody is doing them anything. They are not harmed. They're living in Russia. They fled, you know, because they don't want to be involved in this war. Nobody wants to die in the war. The Germans, they don't want the war. You know, nobody wants to go fighting, but the government is still pushing and pushing and pushing. So the question is, why? For whom?
Well, and there's a lot of people that stand to benefit from it, but it's sort of it's the same thing, whether it's Brexit or immigration. It's like, none of these things have been voted on. If they have, then the people voted against it. People voted to, you know, do Brexit. It just sort of hasn't happened yet. If immigration is ever put to a vote, it loses but you always get it. The Ukraine war, totally unpopular. It's still happening. And the irony of all of it is that the war itself is predicated on the protection of democracy. I mean, it is just insanity across the board here, Peter. I just keep asking, like, what do we do? How do we get out of this? Is it about waking people up? It is about just getting, seizing those means of communication so we can get the truth out? Because as you point out, and like, free speech is not about memes. Memes are fun. Memes are fine. You know, free speech, part of it is you're allowed to hate or insult people, but really it's about censoring the truth, right? It's about stopping people from saying reality. In Germany, I know, they are charging people just for filming the street and showing how many immigrants there are. Just filming reality can get you on hate speech list now. So isn't that really what all the hate speech and all these speech restrictions are about? Is really just limiting the people's ability to know the effects of the policies that are being inflicted on them?
Of course. It's just, this is simple censorship. It's just called with a different name. And we had a discussion in the European Parliament last time, in the last session, and there was a guy from Romania, and he was pushing for this law, which is going to be a real censorship in Europe. And I asked him, like, you remember you grew up in Romania, so you remember the communist system? And I grew in the communism as well. I'm born in Czechoslovakia. You mentioned it in the beginning. And I said, look, I can remember that the communists, they were censoring, like, Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, and all the Western media. They were censoring it. They were disturbing the signal. But the Westerners, they didn't. Mm. You could freely watch in Germany the Czech television, the German socialist television. Nobody was disturbing it because they know it's stupid. You know, it's socialist propaganda. Nobody cares.
Right.
But the socialists, they were afraid of the truth. So they'd censor it. And now I said, look, what is the European Union doing now? It's censoring Russian TV. Sorry, Russia Today is censored in whole Europe.
Yeah.
And I said, what are you afraid of? And do you think it's right that the European Union now is behaving like the communists in the former time? They are censoring.
Right.
He had no answer on it.
Well, how could you? I mean, it's pretty obvious. If you don't want people talking about what you're doing, it's because you're doing something bad. And if you're trying to, censor true information. But that's the thing, isn't it? That's one of the other reasons they want the war. That's why they want to, be fully involved in the war in Ukraine, because then you're not just censoring for hate speech, you're stopping enemy propaganda, right? And therefore, if you are now spreading information they don't want you to spread, it's not just that they, are offended, it's that you're acting with the enemy now. So really, everything happening that's bad in Germany and Europe will only accelerate if they really kick off a full-fledged direct war with Russia.
Unfortunately, this is already happening since 2 or 3 years. Everybody who was arguing against the war in Russia, against the German involvement in this war, was claimed a Russian spy and Russian propagandist and Putin's agent. It happened even to me. I've got 27 home searchings already and investigations. Which claimed that I was bribed by Putin, and they found nothing. After 2 years, nearly 2 years, and 27 home searching, they found nothing. No money, no contract, no proof for this nonsense, of course, But they are still oppressing the people. They are blackmailing the people. It's really terrible. So we have circles which are really in war with Russia. This is the military complex. This is the whole NATO, the secret services. They see themselves in war with Russia. They are in a war with Russia.
Yeah.
This is not legitimate by any parliament, by nobody. This has no democratic legitimation, but they are behaving this way. And again, they are misusing the juridical system, the courts, the prosecutors for the oppression of the opposition.
Yeah, any power they get, they turn to their own ends, regardless of the legitimacy. The stories on InfoWars, meet the European official who's been raided 23 times by German police. This must be an old article. You've been raided 4 more times since the article was written, because you say now the count is at 27. Peter Beistren is my guest. He's a member of the European Parliament. We'll be back on the other side after this short commercial break. Don't go anywhere.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him, and I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio, and 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid. So, your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine's one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
In the southern part of Texas, in the town of San Antonio, is a fortress all in ruins that the weeds have overgrown. You may look in vain for crosses and you'll never see.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. I hope you can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. We have a brand new version of the trench knife available there, thealexjonesstore.com. I'm not going to show it to you yet, because we have a member of European Parliament, and I don't know if looking at an image of a knife will get you arrested in Europe, so we're not going to show it. I'm kidding, of course. But I am very happy to be welcoming my guest, Peter Bystrand. He can be followed on X at Peter Bystrand AFD. That's PeterBystronAFD on X. He is a member of the European Parliament for Germany's Alternative for Germany. And let me just ask you, sir, during the break, I was just scrolling through Twitter, see if anything was breaking, and it looks like war with Iran may very much be on the table. The U.S. Embassy of Iran is telling American citizens to leave the country now. Donald Trump just put out a Truth Social saying effective immediately, any country doing business with the Islamic Republic of Iran will pay a tariff of 25%. Basically, every signal is looking like U.S. State Department issues security alert for Iran, urging Americans, if safe, to consider leaving by land via Armenia or Turkey. So again, a lot of signals being sent that some sort of major showdown with Iran is right around the corner, could be within hours. Mr. Bystrand, do you have any comment on this, or what do you think about the heightening of temperatures in the Middle East these days?
Well, sure. You're absolutely right. I think the situation in Iran is really critical. We have thousands and thousands of protesters against the mullah regime, so the free society doesn't want to be oppressed by this regime. This is quite obvious. This is not the first time. The Iranians, they tried uprising already several times within the last years. The regime always pushed them down. They oppressed them. And I was a foreign policy speaker of my party, so I had contact to both sides, to the opposition's leader. I was even quoting the free Iranian people in my Bundestag speeches, and I addressed the members of the German parliament by what the Iranian wanted in order to help them. But we had also contact with the Iranian officials, and they were always very self-confident, and they were confident that they can oppress the uprisers. Now, I think they are very, very nervous. Their reactions are very aggressive. They are shooting people to death. They are now switching off Starlink. They are trying to oppress any oppositional communication. They are forbidding even the doctors in the hospitals to give medical care to those people who are shot. So if you are delivered to the hospital with a wound that had been shot in the demonstration, the doctors are refusing to help you. They should report you to the police. You know, it's really a very inhuman, very hard. What happened, what changed against the previous uprisings is the change on the geopolitical scale. I think this is a result of the negotiations between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin in Alaska. And because they divided the zones of influence, and we can see that Russia is not backing Iran anymore.
Right.
And we saw also the overture for this. This was Venezuela. Trump cleaned up Maduro with a very, very effective strike. And the second now is Iran. And that's the deal. You know, Russia was given the zone of influence in the Ukraine, and now the U.S. Cleaned up in America. And I think they will support the people of Iran to get a free, a democratic government.
Interesting. So you think that the negotiations with Putin and Trump have led to this, because there's been some sort of agreement that Russia will withdraw its support of the Iranian regime and allow it to be maybe overthrown and fully brought into the zone of influence. I had not heard that theory before. That's very interesting. Can you expand on that a little bit?
It's not official, but I'm a political scientist, and I wrote a piece about this just 2 weeks before Venezuela, and it was published in the biggest Czech newspaper. And I said, look, if that was a part of the deal, the days of Maduro are over. And 2 weeks later, he was in New York in handcuffs. It's secret. It was never published somewhere, but I think it's very logical. If you divide the world in the zone of influence, it would be a logical step. And it explains also why the Russians are not interfering in any way. Of course, you can say they are involved in Ukraine so heavily they don't have the capacity. That would be the second explanation. This is also possible.
And I was wondering about that, too, if maybe the Ukraine war was being prolonged to keep Russia tied down so that they couldn't, you know, send resources to help Iran, that all these things are really tied in, you know, pretty firmly together.
Sure, sure. This is of course, possible. The war in the Ukraine is, a heavy a burden for the whole Russian economy. They are... now doing better than everybody expected, but still it costs a lot. This is a lot of effort, a lot of money, and maybe Russia doesn't want, and maybe they even cannot expand further. That's possible.
Mm. Well, it is interesting. We'll keep an eye on any developments, because certainly all the signals are pointing to imminent action by Iran, Israel, or America. So everybody's wondering who's going to draw first on that. But a lot of that, what we're talking about is speculation. And I do think that's interesting that perhaps there's some soft agreement between Trump and Putin that Putin wouldn't really get involved in Iran. That makes a lot of sense, honestly. But let's talk about things that are happening to Europe and to Germany of their own volition, like the things they're doing to themselves. Zero Hedge has this story today. Mercedes relocates production to Hungary. 20,000 Germans set to lose their jobs. Just the latest, you know, long-standing German brand to basically have to flee the country. And, I mean, there's been a lot of this. I imagine down the line from the energy restrictions and the blowing up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. I mean, what is Germany doing to itself, sir? That's what I want to ask, because it seems like you cannot mess up this badly. This is not incompetence. This is deliberate sabotage. Why are they doing it? I'm glad you're laughing. I don't mean to insult Germany, but it's crazy.
Yeah, but the Germans didn't blow up our own pipeline. I think True. The official version is that there were some Ukrainian partisans.
Yep.
But everybody knows that it was done by heavy help of the United States. So it was in the interest of the United States that Russia can sell the gas cheap directly to Europe. This is no secret, you know. Even the former ambassador, the American ambassador to Denmark, said it was her most important task to somehow avoid that this pipeline goes online, you know, that it works. So we don't need to discuss about this, but
it's all part of the same trend, right?
What's more important are two other things. First, that the German government just turned down all the nuclear power plants in the country, so they switched off six modern new nuclear power plants in the time when several hundred power plants are running around the world. China, the United States, everybody's building new because we will need it, desperately need it, not only for our industry, but also for the new, you know, like artificial intelligence needs so much energy. Even Microsoft, Bill Gates is buying his own nuclear power plant because he knows that he will need it for Microsoft. And the Germans, they destroyed six nuclear power plants and rise, of course, the prices of energy. They were rocketing high. And in addition to that, the European Union exposed sanctions, completely stupid sanctions against Russia. And this way, we've got energy prices. They are double or triple the higher than in the United States or in the world. And this is absolutely destroying German industry.
It absolutely is. And as this article is actually quotes AfD politician Kristen Abel, Mercedes-Benz has stalled for German engineering excellence and Germany's economic upswing for decades. Yet, like so many other automakers, the company is cutting jobs in Germany and expanding to other countries. As a result, the entire production of the A-Class is being relocated to Hungary. 20,000 employees are expected to lose their jobs as a result. And of course, if you're doing all of this on the basis of climate change anyway. The end result of this is you're empowering places like China that have no controls and are building a power plant a week, a coal power plant a week there. So it's just, it's nonsense on every level. And it just seems like the German people are just being screwed over relentlessly from every, you know, aspect of the government. And it's really brutal. But people are waking up to this, right? AfD, the ultimate irony, gets declared domestic terrorists and told that they're, you know, aren't going to be allowed to be a party because they're so popular, because they're rising in the ranks, because the polls show that they're the most popular party. Now the government is coming in to shut it down. A complete betrayal of democracy. Is that affecting the rise of AfD? Is that being a problem for y'all, or are people still finding you and voting for you because they realize how bad it is? I mean, is the awakening in Europe effectively, you know, changing the political landscape?
Yeah, firstly, we are now the strongest party in Germany. For weeks in the polls, we are already the strongest party in Germany. We're the number one. We're going to win all the elections, upcoming elections in the next year. But of course, it's harming us. This is the reason why they are doing it. You know, we have now 27%, but I think what we are representing, this is what the huge majority of the people are thinking. So we would have more than 50-60% if there was not this blackmailing wasn't there, this prosecutions were not there. You know, people just scared. They're really afraid even to say something in our favor. So this is really heavy, really heavy. And it's hurting us. And what helped us a lot is the support of the Donald Trump administration. So this values really a lot. I would like to say thank you to all those brave Americans who were fighting for us, who said publicly something. The last one was the health minister, Bobby Kennedy Jr. This is excellent work, and this is helping us to get our strength. Now it's opening the eyes of the people. They see, wow, they have a support from the United States. Obviously, they are not fascists. They are not right-wing extremists. You know, it's a democratic party, and democratical, not Democrats. And this is going in the right direction.
Well, I do. You know, we have our complaints about the Trump administration ourselves over here, but the speech from J.D. Vance, I think, has been one of the most, you know, groundbreaking things the Trump administration did. It was early on last year, but J.D. Vance going and saying, what are you fighting for? Pointing out the hypocrisy of claiming to fight for democracy while you're not a democracy. I mean, I thought that was amazing, and I love what Trump is doing to try to bring or retain free speech there in Europe. But there's a problem, isn't it, that people still trust the system. You know, you're talking about back in the day when the Iron Curtain was down, the Soviet, you know, they let the propaganda come over because nobody trusted it, right? And it's like, okay, if the Soviets are calling something bad, it's probably good. But people still have a trust in the German media landscape. So I guess or you know, political landscape. So when they're told AfD are dangerous, you know, extremist, they're going to believe that because they haven't quite accepted the fact that we are in a Soviet level media landscape right now, where it should be assumed that when the government or the media doesn't like something, it's because they're actually good and fighting for you. But that, I mean, how are people still falling for these lies when, you know, their own eyes betray them? How do you go walk around downtown Frankfurt? You're surrounded by non-Germans. You're surrounded by foreigners speaking foreign languages. But it never clicks to them that this is like a deliberate plan. I mean, how do you get to the point where people can recognize that the media is lying to them? Is that possible?
Yes, of course it is. And there are two different groups in Germany. There are the population, there is the population in Eastern Germany, which experience such lies, such propaganda in public media during the communist system. And they remember it very well. And this is the reason why the AfD is so strong in the states formerly being the German Democratic Republic. You know, we have over 40% in some. We are 36, 40%. We are really the number one there. We will win the elections there. And they have the other part in the Western Germany who grow up in democracy and believing that the television is saying the truth, which was. And in former time, it was like this, and they can They can't believe that the system turned into something really bad. And right. This is mostly the old generation. That's those people 60 plus. They are still watching the old TV. They believe in it. And we have, but there is hope. There are more and more people, especially young people, who already are watching, you know, independent free media, who are getting their informations through the internet, and they are more and more waking up. You know, we are the strongest party also within the young target group, within the first voters who are 18 years old. They're going the first time to the election, so they are voting for the AfD. So this is the hope for the future. The young people are not believing the mainstream media, and the old people they dying away. So it will be there is also a biological solution for the problem.
Yeah, well, it's funny because what you're saying is absolutely true, and it's the reason that they're trying to censor social media, right? Because young people are getting their news there, they're getting around the mainstream media.
Exactly. This is all the reason for the oppression. You mentioned it already. It's they have no arguments against us. They know that we are saying the truth. We have the facts on our side. And so they cannot argue against us. You know, at the beginning, they always said, come on, we should let the populace invite them to discussions and then we will destroy them because they are just saying some populist phrases and we have the facts. But they stopped it very, very fast because they were losing in any discussions. So they turn around and they are now trying just to forbid us. You know, they fearing any discussions. They avoiding any competition. You know, they just trying to blackmail. No, not trying. They are blackmailing us and are trying to forbid us because this is the only way for them how to avoid they losing the elections against us.
Yep, 100%. The story, reclaimthenet.org from yesterday. German premier calls out social media censorship, sparks outcry. This was the CDU prime minister of Schleswig-Holstein, pardon my pronunciation, publicly urged tighter state regulation of media outlets and social networks, declaring that some platforms are opponents and enemies of democracy. They love invoking that word, no matter how inaccurate their usage is. And they're predicating this on protecting democracy. They also mention, you know, protecting minors from disinformation and sexual assault. In the UK, it was, we have to stop minors from learning about how to commit suicide. In, you know, Australia, it's anti-Semitism. They have all these different excuses, right? But really, it's all about, as you pointed out, stopping the political opposition from these things being imposed. Again, do you think any of these things are valid? Like, what do you think about the excuses that they use? Like saying, oh, we have to stop minors from, you know, seeing sexual material. Obviously, that's not the real reason, right?
Sorry the expression, but it's a complete bullshit.
yeah, I agree.
The communists were also claiming, they were saying, oh, we are protecting the democracy. And what democracy? Why do you need censorship? No, we have free speech. Everybody may say everything he wants to. There are already existing laws. If you are offending somebody and so on. So we have really good laws, but you don't need additional laws forbidding people to say something, you know. And you did a good example because they're saying that for protection of minors, that they're pushing for a law which is called Digital Services Act in the whole European Union. And this Digital Services Act would enable the government to read everything you have on your mobile phone.
Yep.
To read everything you write on your mobile phone or your pictures, your videos, really everything. And I don't, and it doesn't mean when you send it to somebody via WhatsApp or Telegram or something. No, before. So yeah. They would be scanning the whole private phones, even not the communication between the people, but what you have in your phone. Right. And they are saying, yeah, this is because of the protection of the minors. We are fighting the pornography and so on and so on. So this is a complete lie.
In a way, it's almost just a different spot on the spectrum towards Iran. I mean, they're not, you know, Europe's not at the point that they're, you know, blasting Starlink satellites out of space yet, but, you know, obviously it's incrementalism, and you're getting to the point that you can look at Iran and be enraged at all the, you know, censorship and oppression that goes on there. But Europe is well on its way. I mean, it's headed down that track. I have a couple stories specifically in the UK. They seem to be leading the charge on a lot of this, but UK orders Ofcom to enforce encryption backdoors. This is what you're talking about, how even things that are encrypted, they actually have to get access to it before it's encrypted. So they'll have backdoors basically on every, you know, device that's used. UK expands Online Safety Act to mandate preemptive scanning of digital communications. That's what you're talking about, preemptive scanning. A major expansion of the UK's Online Safety Act, which is just a national version of the DSA, which is, you know, applied across the whole continent, has taken effect, legally obliging digital platforms to deploy surveillance-style systems that scan, detect, and block user content before it can be seen. I mean, that is Orwellian, sir.
And just look at the statistics about legal charges against citizens who publish something on the internet, yeah? Number one, worldwide, UK,
yep.
United Kingdom. Number two, Belarus. Number three, Germany.
Wow.
So we have two self-called democracies on number one and number three worldwide in putting people in jail for having posted something on social media. It says everything. China is following. It's afterwards, you know. Right. All those states like Iran, China, and so on, they are behind United Kingdom and Germany.
And that's not even taking population into account, right? That's just raw numbers. The UK still, you know, outdoes Russia or Iran with number of people in its jails. And then you know, realize that their population is significantly less than those other countries. It is absolutely out of control. But, you know, thank God there's people like yourself still there standing up for these really fundamentally European values, right? I mean, free speech came from Europe. These ideas came from Europe. To see them dying there is just brutal. Anything else you want to let our audience know? Again, my guest is Peter Bystron. You can follow him on X at P-E-T-R Bystron A-F-D. That's P-E-T-R Bystron A-F-D. Final thoughts, sir, for our American audience. We thank you for coming on. This has been fantastic.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure. And thank you for your work. It's really valuable. This is important. You are the voice of America of nowadays. And thank you to War Room, the whole team, and everybody who is watching it. God bless you.
Well, thank you very much. God bless you as well. And, you know, as bad as things are here in America, it is absolutely that much worse in Europe. And I feel like we have an obligation as the last sort of standing bastion of free speech. We have to export this to America, to Europe. We have to actually go back to what the Statue of Liberty originally meant, which wasn't welcome people in. It was shining the light of liberty out. That's what we want to do. We want to shine that light of liberty across the Atlantic into Europe. Our cousins over there being absolutely brutalized by the dictatorships masquerading as a democracy. Thanks so much for joining us, Peter Bystron. We'll be back on the other side. Rex Jones is joining us. Stay tuned, folks. Go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us. All the great guests, all of the work that we do. We really are pursuing 1776 worldwide. Wake up now. This is your last chance, folks. More on the other side. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere. Thealexjonesstore.com is how you support us.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the, you know, middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, The Saint Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's just InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
HHS Secretary. Today I want to tell you about a letter that I just sent to Germany's Federal Minister of Health, Nina Warken, because what's happening in Germany right now demands a clear public response from the United States of America. I've learned that more than 1,000 German physicians and thousands of their patients now face prosecution and punishment for issuing exemptions from wearing masks or getting COVID-19 vaccines during the pandemic. When any government criminalizes doctors for advising their patients, it crosses a line that free societies have always treated as sacred. In my letter, I explain that Germany is targeting physicians who put their patients first and punishing citizens for making their own medical choices. The German government is now violating the sacred patient-physician relationship, replacing it with a dangerous system that makes physicians enforcers of state policies. Your health is no longer your doctor's priority under this system. Your doctor instead is serving the welfare of the collective as determined by unelected technocrats with no medical training. Anybody can see the danger in this system. No democracy grounded in confidence and transparency should move in that direction. Patients must always have the freedom to make personal medical decisions without coercion or political pressure. That principle forms the bedrock of every democratic nation. But the reports coming out of Germany show a government sidelining patient autonomy and limiting people's abilities to act on their own convictions when they face medical decisions. During the COVID era, governments across the world expanded their authority. Even in America, doctors were unjustly attacked for challenging the status quo. Germany followed that same pattern, and now doctors who raised questions or challenged official directives face conviction, the loss of their licenses, and even exile from their professions. Many of these physicians took personal and professional risks because they believed that their duty to their patients required it. They stood by their Hippocratic Oath at a moment when the government institutions demanded strict conformity with state diktats. Actions like these erode public trust. They weaken the credibility of medical institutions and legal systems meant to protect the public. When decisions arise out of fear rather than open dialogue, societies pay the price long afterward. And that's why I urge the German government to change course, to end these prosecutions, to restore unjustly revoked licenses, to stop punishing doctors who acted in good faith and served their patients with integrity, and to let the German people make their own informed medical decisions. Germany has long held a respected place in the global community as a nation committed to democratic values and human rights. Policies that suppress dissent, that silence speech, that criminalize medical decision-making undermine that legacy. A confident government listens to its citizens. A free society protects the rights to think, the rights to question, and the right to choose. In my letter, I made it clear that Germany has the opportunity and the responsibility to correct this trajectory, to restore medical autonomy, to end politically motivated prosecutions, and to uphold the rights that anchor every democratic nation. History will record how leaders respond at moments like this. Thank you.
Produced by
All
the
right,
US
folks,
Department.
That is RFK, HHS Secretary, sounding off about the lack of freedoms in our European allies. Welcome back. This is the War Room. Third hour is on. In studio with me is the one and only Rex Jones. How you doing, Rex?
Happy to be here as always.
Well, we're going to get into Iran. It looks like every time
fun.
I, yeah, yeah.
Every time
really
we talk
fun.
About it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, the thing we never stop talking about. I guess we're closer to war than ever. But I do want to tell people, by the way, we have a new knife on
What's
sale.
What's that in the box?
At thealexjonesstore.com. It's a very beautiful, like, collector's edition box. I actually have not this knife, but the smaller one. I can't bring myself to throw away the box because it's so pretty, but the blade, the knife itself is a thing of beauty in more ways than one. It's got the pinup girl on the side in the InfoWars shirt and the Alex Jones signature, and life is fiery with its beauty on the other side.
It's incredible with its detail.
It's incredible with its detail.
Beautiful.
Buy the trench knife now, thealexjonesstore.com. Bovine colostrum plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is bovine colostrum plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, colostrum plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, bovine colostrum plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
That knife, look at that knife, ladies and gentlemen. It's available right now.
Life is fiery with its beauty. That's the front side. I'm flipping over. This is the better side to look at.
Really good design.
It really is a cool design. It's super sharp. I mean, that's a serious knife. I mean, you pick up that knife, it makes you want to stab something.
Yeah, I was saying on the break, be careful where you point that thing, Harrison. It's
seriously.
Quite sharp.
It's a Roman short sword.
Roman short sword, Roman dagger, Roman gladius.
Might even call that a dirk. That might be a dirk. That might be the technical term. But actually it's actually functional. Like, it's not just built to look pretty, even though it does. It's got the guard there. I mean, people don't know because, you know, we don't get knife fights that often anymore, but you know,
right.
The reason the Bowie knife became popular because.
Well, imagine that in Europe. I mean, you just talk to the AFD guy or in the UK that this is like a nuclear weapon.
I was
like,
only
they'd send 12 people in your house in SWAT gear to take you.
If I showed it on camera, they would have arrested him. I'm pretty sure that's how that works. I always tell the story because my wife, but she was my girlfriend at the time, was in Germany, for a semester, and she carried around a little pocket knife because she's from America and is like,
right.
I'm gonna be walking around taking public
transportation.
Yeah. No, literally, they were like, why do you have a knife?
Why do I have it?
And she's like, self-protection. They're like, you must put that away now.
Yeah.
You will be arrested, thrown into prison for that.
Well, you can get a pet pig. You know?
There you go.
That's not a blade, but it's, you know, they avoid those.
It's effective. Yes, it's very effective. You can get this knife right now. The Life is Fiery with its beauty trench knife at thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. And remember, every purchase gets 50 times entries on the dual drawing right now for both of the incredible trucks. So please do support us. We really do need your help, and you need this knife. So it's really a win-win situation. Rex, what do you think about Iran? You excited to go to war? We're finally getting it.
Yeah, don't send me. Definitely not. I don't want to go over there. No one young that I know wants to go over there. But the boomers who have picked me up in Uber rides have mentioned that I might have to go to war over there. So it's a very interesting thing where the old people are all excited about another war that they get to watch on Fox News or CNN or whatever. And then the young people have to fight or die. Or even if you're middle-aged, you have to live in the economic wasteland that something like this will inevitably produce. Right? Because they will shut down global oil shipping. They will shut down the traffic. That's part of the reason why we went into Venezuela.
Right.
That's number one. It seems like all the dominoes are lined up for this to fall.
Yes, it does. And it seems like those are the signals that we're getting from just about everywhere right now. And it's weird, isn't it, that the boomers are the ones that are, charging head forward into this, because they've lived through more disasters than the rest of us, right? How are you alive?
Well,
Vietnam and Iraq 1 and Iraq 2 and Afghanistan, and you're just ready to try again. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, the funny thing is, like, they're like, now it's your turn, kid.
Right.
It's when I went to school, I walked uphill 2 miles in the snow.
Yep.
Or 20 miles or whatever it is. And you don't know what it's like to have to cartwheel backwards.
When I was your age, we were sent to die in a godforsaken mud field for U.S. imperialism.
Right, so now it's your turn. I think that is a lot of the sentiment, especially for people that weren't in the military and didn't fight, right? And then I look at it as like, well, you know, last 10, 20 years on this earth, other people get to fight for my political ideology and I don't have to put skin in the game. I
mean, very, very,
they support it.
Easy to cheer for something you don't actually have to do yourself. Okay, this is from Trump. This was just minutes ago. Effective immediately, any country doing business with the Islamic Republic of Iran will pay a tariff of 25% on any and all business being done in the United States. This order is final and conclusive. So that's what President Trump says, as again, every time I look at X, there's like 10 more warnings of the State Department saying get out of Iran.
Well, that right there, that's key, because that tariff amount's a reasonable amount. It's not like a 500% or like a 200% or something that he throws out there as kind of like a smash and grab negotiation tactic. That's something where he's like, look, we're geopolitically ready to get geared up for this. We're going in there. And if you're going to do business with them, we still want to do business with you. We don't want to piss you off, but it's finito. You understand? It's finito. It's done with them.
Well, it also seems to hint that Trump is in favor of regime change. I mean, there's always
I think
this question.
That's almost certain, right? I mean, like, he's with Lindsey Graham and they're laughing about MAGA and all of this, all this stuff. And when Lindsey Graham is smiling, we're all frowning as Americans. So I think that's a pretty clear indicator of what's going on. I think if you play golf enough with a guy that wants war and death and murder, you're going to get the result of that.
And it's such a frankly, it's a betrayal of everything Trump represented from the very first time that he, you know, made his political
walk down the escalator.
Walk down the escalator. The first moment that he really set himself apart in my eyes was that first debate where he
Jeb
went
Bush,
off.
Jeb Bush, the war in Iraq.
About Jeb Bush and the war in Iraq. Exactly.
100% correct. And I advise everyone to go watch the old 2016 primary debates. You know, I used to fall asleep to those. And it really is a political education, because he was in the middle or the beginning, I guess I should say, of taking over the Republican Party.
Yep.
But now, sitting over a decade later, it looks like the Republican Party is taking control of him. So it's very interesting.
Yeah. Interesting is one way to put it. Yeah, it's bizarre. Like, it's just like, what happened? What was he lying then? Did he not really mean it back then?
We've talked about it. I think he made the Reagan deal where they're like, look, you can be the figurehead for the party. You can be the guy that everyone wants to shake the hand of, the guy that everyone wants to hang out with, the guy that gets to make all the deals and be friends with all the rich, powerful, influential people. But we're still going to do our deep state agenda. You can limit or suppress or however you want to phrase it, but there are main programs like those Epstein files that you're not allowed to mess with. You're not allowed to touch. And it's like Putin says, ultimately, when the men in the black suits and not red or blue ties, but black ties or whatever he says, when they come in and they tell you what are you supposed to do? And I genuinely buy the excuse, the first administration, of him not having good people in office,
right?
Like good people that he appointed, right? I can buy that. But coming back after the indictments, after the political persecution, after, you know, maybe it was a decade of the Russia hoax that made him go a little loopy about just exactly who was his friend, who was his enemy. Because, like, he went through hell. And that's one of the biggest reasons why I find it so hard now to really not be in that Trump supporter category anymore, is because I defended him for a decade, because you'd hear just the most insane brain rot garbage from just normal average people. Trump, well, he's a Russian agent, is he? Russia's bad and they control our government. And it's like, well, like, you know, that's all fake. And Hillary Clinton paid for that Fusion GPS dossier. And there was a Mueller report, Mueller investigation for years and years and years. Nothing ever came of it. But that's what people would say, is Russia, 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 24/7. And they still say it to this day.
Yeah.
So when I try to have an elevated political conversation about this and why I'm upset, you still get the same canned response from that time period, which makes me think it had some effect on him and how he's processed things.
That is very interesting, because now it's sort of the inverse where it's
right.
Israel, 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 Trump's an Israel puppet.
Right.
Now, I think it's more nuanced than that. I completely understand that Trump does everything Israel wants, and a lot of stuff that we see Trump do, like the, you know, invasion of Venezuela, I think is much, has much more to do with Israel than just about any of the other excuses that they give us. So I'm not trying to downplay that at all. At the same time, I see, or I am interpreting the behind the scenes drama that's going on with Signalgate. They're trying to oust Pete Hegseth. They're, you know, Mike Waltz is communicating with Netanyahu behind the scenes before the negotiations. I don't think Trump is like ideologically dedicated to Israel. I think that he is trying to placate them while also trying to not get into full war with Iran. I mean, and I think probably the biggest asset he had in that was Charlie Kirk. And now that Charlie Kirk has been removed from the scene forcibly, there's nobody in Trump's ear telling him we don't
right.
want to go to war with Iran.
And then people will look at us and look at this network and at InfoWars, and they'll say, well, you don't agree with Ford Ochoka. You don't agree with Candace Owens, so you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know nothing. You don't know anything. And it's like, look, we don't believe in the officials.
I met that guy.
Yeah, literally. I have too online. We don't believe in the official story. We don't believe that Tyler Robinson ultimately was the guy that acted alone and took her out alone, XYZ. I don't believe he was the guy that fired the shot that took Charlie Kirk's life out. He may have been on top of the roof. He may have fired a shot. I don't believe in that. I'll tell you what I don't believe in is the Ford Ochoka Waka Blaka Haka.
Right. Well, and this is
Waka Chaka Maka Haka.
This is even about, like, sort of regardless of who killed Charlie Kirk, his death has had this outcome.
Well,
and, right?
Well, that's the point I want to make is, like, people look at our broadcast and I think, especially you've just been so on the ball, on the target, covering the entire story, really covering the Gaza story, kind of like Charlie would cover it and how Charlie would talk about it. And there's that famous video, you see it a lot in short video format, I think it's from PBD, where he's talking about the border and he's talking about October 7th and just it not making sense. And there's got to be a stand down here for this to happen.
Yep.
You go, oh, well, he's dead.
Right. Well, but, and that was 2023. So again, when you right. look at the Charlie Kirk phenomenon, clearly he was moving away from Israel for a while, but like, it's like if you are motivated by Charlie Kirk's legacy and you want to like honor him,
right?
I think the number one thing you should be doing is protesting against the war in Iran. I mean, whether you believe that's why he died, whether you believe that Israel killed him so they could get the war with Iran, it's sort of beside the point. The thing that has happened is the guy who was in Trump's ear actually risking his own like position, his own power, his own influence to tell Trump, don't go to war with Iran. This is a bad idea. Nobody wants this. You're going to destroy your own legacy and America at the same time. Charlie's not here to make that argument anymore. So nobody's in Trump's ear telling him that. And it seems like he has just completely lost any connection to the people. I think Charlie Kirk was a very important vector for that. And now
well, that's the thing. Why were people so excited? Because ultimately Kirk, Trump, they were offering people something different, right? Yep. They were offering people something different than the left-right dichotomy, right? They were offering a world beyond that, a world of not a third party in the traditional sense where you have Democrat, Republican, a third party that comes in and sweeps. You have the takeover and the reclamation, supposedly, of the Republican Party and of conservatism as an identity.
Yep.
And unfortunately, when I said that we had seen that from both of them, Trump has stopped doing it and Charlie Kirk has died. So this is the situation we're in now.
That's 100%. That's what's happening.
My approximation.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But it's all good because ground invasion, Iran, it'll be wonderful. We'll bomb them for like 2 weeks and that won't be enough. And then, they hit a hospital in Israel. Oh, we have to go in. We have to go protect our ally.
Right.
And then it'll be me and my co-host Tim will be in the bunker and it'll be all fun, ready to invade the town. And then we get IED blown up. Oh, and then it's an old person sitting at Mar-a-Lago or at Palm Beach somewhere drinking a martini going, oh, another 2,000 have died. That's unfortunate.
Yes.
It's quite unfortunate. And it won't even be an American, bro. It won't even be an American. The Americans will be sitting there with that person, but there'll be foreign old people laughing about dead young Americans. Think about that. Yeah. And when did you sign up for that? When did you vote for that? I voted for Trump twice. I never voted for that once. And it's because he made it clear his platform was anti all of that. He's anti-war. He's anti-intervention. He was anti-regime change. And then now it's the same thing as we get banned off Twitter. He says, as long as I'm on Twitter, it's okay. He said, as long as I'm presently all right, then the situation is okay for now. That's a drug addict's mentality.
Mm.
That's a crackhead's mentality. That's what that is. And that can't be accepted in American politics, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, when it comes to the Gaza ceasefire, obviously Israel is not adhering to it. I think the report I saw today.
We just ignore it.
Yeah, you know, absolute destroy. This
because you got the headline of peace, right? That's all you need.
Well, it's a ceasefire. Please ignore all the fire. This from thecradle.co. Absolute destruction. Israel demolishes 2,500 buildings in Gaza after the October ceasefire. So, you know, they didn't want the ceasefire.
Right.
Because they're not adhering to it. Trump forced it on them. J.D. Vance actually came out, you know, in a speech later at one of the TPUSA events. He was asked about it, and he said, basically, we had to use some leverage to get that ceasefire. Well, they're not really sticking to it.
Well, and that's the thing. And you point this out. This is a learning experience for both me and the audience. You know, I wasn't informed of this until Bezalel Smotrich told me that. I didn't know a lot about demolition and reconstruction and building resorts on top of graves or cemeteries. I guess it's what a casino is at the end of the day, right?
Right.
Bezalel Smotrich, the Israeli finance minister, explained to me that deconstruction or demolition is the most expensive part of building any new thing. So it's good that it's happening now during the war, and as much property and as much buildings exist to be destroyed.
So they're just
it's part of the process to build the Trump Gaza, to build the resort, and it's fun.
Right. The genocide is an economic decision.
Yes, it's an economic decision. It's purely, and we're just trying to get the hard part done first, you see, and that makes it fair. They can all go to Somaliland, this place we invent.
As long as the $10 billion keeps getting funneled from American taxpayers to the Somaliland, then everything will be peachy.
Right.
But this is the thing, right? It's like, okay, if Trump was just fully on Israel's team, they would still be, you know, there'd be no ceasefire. They would have fully taken over Gaza by now. Obviously, he's not like in their pocket, but where does he draw the line? Where is the line? Is there a line, or am I just misreading things.
You know, I have a hard time walking my dog. I got a dog named Rupert. You've met Rupert many times. Rupert is like 120-pound,
spirited lad,
half European Doberman Pinscher. He doesn't have his ears cut, so he's got nice, floppy ears. And I'll be walking him at night, and he'll be pulling me. I'll be like, "Hey man, you gotta stop, you gotta stop." And he pulls and pulls and pulls, and be like, "Hey man, you gotta stop." And eventually, he stops. Right. After I've begged and pleaded enough with him to stop. And I think that's what goes on with Trump and Netanyahu, except the leash is kind of attached to Trump's arm. He can't take it off, and he's got to contain Bibi. I mean, one of the funniest things I saw, you remember when J.D. Vance was over in Israel at the Holy Sepulchre and all that?
Mm-hmm.
I saw Judge Napolitano call it Bibi sitting. Like he's there to babysit Bibi, basically.
Interesting.
To make sure the war doesn't pop off then. Cause ultimately, you know, it's a lot like the dog, right? Like if I'm in the bathroom and I have to live in the house with the dog and I have food on the table, the dog's going to go try to steal the food. That's bad, Netanyahu. No, don't. Shame, right?
Yeah, no, seriously. You gotta like watch him.
Shock collar, perhaps.
So yeah, Israel draws up new attack plans to expand control of Gaza. They've already built like 58 bases inside what they're called the yellow zone.
They're just securing it. It's okay.
This is obviously in flagrant violation of what Donald Trump made them sign. And it's not just that. It's the West Bank, right? Trump said with no uncertain terms. We played the clip a lot on this show. He's asked about the West Bank settlement. And he said, it's not happening. It's gone on too long. They're not annexing the West Bank.
Look, they got Bibi, and he showed up as the Bibi sitter. I wonder if he's looking for children to kill.
Maybe.
And he's like, where are the children?
He's like, did I kill them all already?
Do you want me to do it all at once or one at a time? We can figure it out.
I mean, that is.
He's a monster. He's like Hitler. Like, seriously. And then this guy, he's our buddy. And just like Gilani in Syria, right? Like, they're literal genocidal fascists, in my opinion.
I mean, it's really hard to argue against that.
So I guess that's just the world, right? I guess you look at everywhere.
Well, this is the crazy thing. There's giant riots in Tel Aviv right now. There's obviously big riots all over America. There's big riots, like, everywhere. It's, like, even in their own countries.
Right.
The people don't want them in charge. So it is this cabal of psychopaths that are all like hardcore dedicated to the Greater Israel Project that are sitting on top of all of these populations that don't want them to be in leadership, but they are. And so they're imposing free speech restrictions and, you know, all these other controls to
It's safety. You know, it's sanitization. That's what Ursula von der Leyen, the unelected head of the EU, says. You know, she goes, We don't censor. We're sanitizing.
It's
just sanitization, right? Because we're stopping people from getting sick. Because knowing the truth, it makes you sick because you want to do something about it.
Yes, they're vaccinating us against disinformation.
That's literally what she. Yeah, that's, you're quoting her basically.
Yeah.
Breaking: riots in Tel Aviv, one dead and six injured. Is this recent? Is this happening right now? A settler has been killed by the Eritrean rioters in Tel Aviv, and six are injured. They are smashing windows and looting stores in the surrounding regions of Tel Aviv.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the other thing, is that, you know, Israel cracks down on protesters just like Iran does. I had a video a few days ago, maybe the crew can find it, of, yeah, Israeli security forces firing on protesters to disperse them and killing a couple of them. Inside Israel's 2026 plan to ethnically cleanse the West Bank. Should we say sanitize? I mean,
yeah,
I guess.
Sanitize.
We're sanitizing.
Containment's also good. Yeah, that's what they like to say and do.
Yeah.
If there's Smotrich right there. He's plotting the demolition.
He actually went to personally deliver the eviction notices to the people who have been in the West Bank for the last 1,000 years. Because it's a thrill. Because
it's a fetish. Yeah. It's like, I evicted five more.
I get to look in their eyes when I tell them that we're stealing their ancestral home and giving it to some lady from New York that just moved there.
And then we give the settlers money.
Of course.
We give the settlers
money. Well, they don't work.
Well, it's very important. Their job to take over.
I mean, they're busy burning down olive groves and throwing rocks at old ladies. You can't expect them to have a job.
And then everyone goes to the modern argument for Trump and the Zionists being linked at the hip and MAGA and all of it. They say, look, listen, we're just doing colonization, and you can be proud of being white. You can do colonization too. You can invade these countries. It's fine. We don't care. But where were you with that during all the DEI and all the censorship and all the hell? You were still doing your theocracy, racism, party thing. We weren't allowed to do it, but then, maybe we want to do it. And then it's okay. As long as you're our friend and do everything we want.
And don't you think that is part of it, where like the Lindsey Grahams of the world, they would love if it was socially acceptable to be that way for America, but it's not. So they're just that way for Israel. Like they want to be like, you know, when they see Mexico or whatever, they want to just be like, go in there, kill them all, brutalize them all. But they can't do that because like that's not the way the media landscape treats these things. So. But in Israel, they can beat their chest. They can call for blood.
It's awesome. You're the chosen people. And anyone who does anything against you is cursed because you say so and you have American weapons and you can kill them. Like, it's like, yeah, I guess we're cursed if we hate you because you have a Hellfire missile.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of like you're cursed if you don't give the mugger your wallet. You know,
that's a very good observation.
God will end up leaving a knife in your chest. You know, it's just the way God works, I guess. So, but this is a slap in the face to Trump. Trump specifically said that he didn't want this. And I almost think that was like it's almost like a signal from Trump. Like, guys, I don't want this and I have no ability to stop it. And that's really what I think is the lesson that can be learned from the Trump administration, is literally it doesn't matter if the person in power that you voted for, that is the president, wants to stop it or not. It goes on regardless. We do not have a democracy. We do not have representation. We are a subject people. That's really what is
coming
through to me.
That's the truth. And, you know, people will go, InfoWars, And then, like, you hear a message like that from you, and, like, that's my message, too, right? It's like, we have a right to have agency within our own government. We have a right to have a representative democracy, a republic, where someone that you vote for actually represents your interests at the state and national level. But instead, what we have is people that represent the interests of corporations in foreign countries ahead of our own.
And our government, our Congress, our Senate will never come together on anything.
Because they're paid not to.
Except when BB comes to town and it's 20 minutes of standing ovations from both sides.
And you can never get both sides to clap for anything. That's another extreme example. You can point to things and break people out of the PSYOP really well. I like the Canadian Nazi and the standing ovation there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Ukrainian guy who fought the Russians during World War II and Justin Trudeau gives him a medal.
A standing ovation, yeah. But
yeah.
But I mean, that is such an important thing, right? Is that no president who we will ever elect will be cheered by both parties. You would think that the thing that would unite the American Congress would be pro-Americanism. You would think that like somebody who came out and gave a speech that was just pro-America and America's the best, everybody from both parties would rise. That's not the case.
Why don't we, Israel, both rise. Why don't we just try someone new like Fishback or Aaron Baker or one of these new candidates? Why don't we just try someone that's never been in office before? We did that one time. The guy was a billionaire. It may have been a little wonky or a little zany, but let's try it again. Let's try people that stated mission is to do things like term limits, like reforming Congress, like actually using the checks and balances available to that branch of government. Let's vote for that, Harrison.
I think so. And I think we're seeing a lot more candidates come out of the woodwork, like Fishback or, Casey Putsch in, Ohio. I mean, people are standing up to the despotism of the Republican Party, and the Republican Party is trying desperately to crack down on those. But we'll see. And that does need to be our focus this year, is, finding the right primary, people to get rid of the Lindsey Grahams out there. Folks, we'll be back on the other side. I do want to remind you, the Life is Beauty Trench Dagger is now on sale at thealexjonesstore.com, and it's 50% off.
And you must have it.
Inductory price, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. If you want to let them know who sent you, get your knife today. It's one of our best-selling knives for good reason. Get it in your hand.
It's got beautiful on the blade. Beautiful on the blade. You can't beat that.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's
for
good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
Are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones' picture is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones until I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid. So, your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
gentlemen. It's the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, in studio with the one and only Rex Jones.
That's right. We're having our secret pro-Israel discussion before the break ended.
Yes.
We're plotting, you see, on how to best to sanitize the news like we were talking about before. But go ahead, Harrison.
No,
I just drop a bomb on you. I just throw it at you.
It's unbelievably – well, we were just talking about the fact that yesterday I talked about Patagonia, the accusations being made that Israelis – are posing as tourists, IDF members going in and starting fires in Patagonia, and that it is because it's part of the, it's the same thing happened in Lahaina and the Pacific Palisades. You burn
it. Oh, just the most valuable place. It just burns up and we gotta fix it. We gotta go in and fix it. We've got the construction company.
Just happened to pass laws last year that opened it up, you know, for purchase if and only if it's burned. And what do you know? It starts to get burned.
Ooh, we should watch the clip.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of videos about this we can go to, but the frustrating thing is we post this video from Alex's show yesterday.
Right.
Within the first minute, I say, like I just did, Israelis are being accused of doing this. And then every comment underneath is like, why aren't you saying who's doing this? Why are you covering up for the Israelis? So it's just, it's part of the frustration of, being InfoWars, actually talking honestly, forthrightly, and frankly, bravely about this very, like, sensitive topic, only to have people not listen to us and then claim that we're doing the exact opposite.
Well, it's not good enough because the anonymous account, you see, it has all sorts of thoughts and opinions. It's very brave to share them, but ultimately it's not sitting in front of the camera broadcasting to tens of thousands of people.
That's right. They're not on terrestrial radio talking to a huge cross-section of Americans who all have their own opinions and points of view.
People are unique. I didn't understand this. Everyone's a group.
It's so confusing.
You know, it's really not, you know, like we care about one race. We care about the human race. That means you don't get to have a ethno state anywhere. You don't get to have certainly a religious ethno state where it's both ethnicity and religion.
Well, that's what I always talk about where it's like, some people are like, oh, you know, I wish we could be like Israel. And like, sure, I wish we had border protection. That'd be nice. I wish we had a government that represented our interests in some way. That would be nice. But the whole idea of like, you need blood tests to make sure that you're pure enough to be in our, it's the whole thing's creepy.
That's right. You need a court order for a blood test as well because they don't want you poking around.
Yeah.
They don't want you looking into things. It's very interesting. You know, if a Jew dies in Israel, right, or in Palestine, if an American dies in America, the American government goes, fentanyl overdose, car crash, heart attack, we don't care. If someone dies over there, they do everything possible to make sure it doesn't happen again. Mm. So at least there's something to be said for that, right?
Right.
Because we don't do that. We don't have even 10% of that for our own people. Maybe if you're in a Russian prison somewhere because you brought weed, Joe Biden will bail you out and release Victor Bethune.
Right. But if you're a journalist covering Ukraine and get murdered by Zelensky.
R.I.P. Gonzalo Lira. Say his name, Gonzalo Lira.
Exactly, yeah. Seriously, R.I.P. Gonzalo Lira or any of the hundreds of journalists that have been killed in Gaza.
We need to take those slogans back because they're good. Say her his name and then rest in power. Rest in power, Gonzalo Lira, who fought against an evil Ukrainian security police and a terror regime, really, to get honest journalism out of that country and then was put in a camp and ultimately killed for what he did.
Yep.
So he's trying to bike and escape out of the country. That was the last video he ever put out. I'm going to be talking about that tonight on my show. I'll be live at 9 p.m. on my profile.
Just trying to get away.
Yeah.
And of course you can be followed on X at Rex Jones News with a Z.
If y'all want to catch me live, I'll be live tonight and I'm live every day, 2026, every single day. I am live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I am live Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. I do a phenomenal show, Gray Area Talks, me and my co-host Tim. We do deep dives. We do phenomenal guest interviews. We do call-in shows. And then Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, I am live at Rex X Gray Area, which is still just linked in my profile, and you can find all these shows on the Gray Area Talks YouTube or Rumble page. If you want to check me out, check me out. If you don't, it's all good. Just, even if you don't subscribe, just go like one of the videos. It would help a lot. I would appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Shameless plug.
There are lots of completely free ways to support us, folks.
Right.
Share the content.
Share the links. That's what Alex has always said, right? It's just share the live feed, share the link, get it out there.
And, because it is at the end of the day all about getting this information out, changing people's minds with the truth and reality. And we need your help in that. So thank you to everybody who does support us. You can follow me at Harrison H. Smith. Just make sure you're following InfoWars at Real Alex Jones, at AJN Live, at Rex Jones News. Yes. All of that. So what do you want to get into, Rex? Do you want to get into Patagonia or you want to stick with Iran for now?
Let's do all of it. Let's do all of it. Why do we have to limit ourselves?
We have 19 minutes. All right. Let's start. Actually, we were talking about this previously. Let's go to clip 28 here because really this year for us, at least the beginning part of the year, needs to be about identifying outside politicians and dethroning some of the worst rhino Republicans like Lindsey Graham, or in this case, Randy Fine. Randy Fine has a challenger, who I'd love to get on the show and talk to him.
Aaron Baker.
Because honestly, anybody would be better than Randy Fine. But whether it's Lindsey Graham or Randy Fine, or, well, there are some good people like Ron DeSantis, but he's not going to be governor anymore. Fishback is, the guy for me, Casey Putch,
right,
in Ohio. We've already had a couple of these guys on, but we're going to double down on this effort because if we are going to not fall into civil war, then we need the right people representing us, and we really would be able to solve all of these problems in a day or two. It would really be so easy. So let's go to this video. This is went totally viral. There's a new political action committee, and it is the inverse of AIPAC. It is the anti-AIPAC political action committee.
AZA.
AZA PAC. And they just made this commercial for, against Randy Fine and in favor of Aaron Baker. Let's watch.
Randy Fine, a morally bankrupt monster who gleefully celebrates the slaughter of innocent children, fuels deadly violence, and shamelessly boasts about it online. This is no leader. This is a danger. Even AIPAC, the pro-Israel powerhouse, briefly disowned this Israel-obsessed fanatic
for his
genocidal reign.
To think that someone like this is electable is beyond anything. And like they always go, oh, like, you know, the high school girlfriend or whatever, or like you can't have anything like that. That's a problem. And this guy's literally like, kill them all, starve away. Palestinian is just another word for demon. Nuke Gaza. Thanks for the pick of the dead baby. Ooh. Like he gets off on it, man. And it's beyond anything.
It really is. Like, it's so disturbing. I mean, cause I can understand if you're like, if you have family in Israel, right, and you witness October 7th and you're like, look.
You're angry and you want to go over there and kill them. Yeah, I mean, and
well,
that's...
Well, not even that. If you're just, you know, if it's just like, hey, we can't let Gaza continue to exist as it is. We got to do something. This sucks, but here we go. Like, okay, I still don't agree. I still am going to argue against you, but at least you have some form of humanity in you. It's not, you're not actually getting off. You're not actually thrilled and excited by the death of children. That is sick.
And
there's no excuse.
And that's the interesting thing you point at it. And I talk about this a lot. And I'm critical of ICE, right? And I go, look, I want all these people out of the freaking country. Or I want them all gone.
Yeah.
But the way you do it is you set up a program that's so good and so efficient and so reasonable that it can be carried over administration to administration to administration to eventually, oh, well, you know, it couldn't solve the problem in 4 years. We did it in 11.
Yeah.
But instead it's nuclear option 24/7. And I see that a lot with other countries. I mean, you look at Israel is a great example of that, right? And look at the people that support Israel. They go, look, we know what we're doing is wrong. We know somewhere deep down inside, we know that it's wrong. So in order to make sure to minimize risk, we're going to do it as quick as possible, as grotesque as possible, as violent as possible, and then hope we can just get away in time before the metaphysical police show up. Right.
I mean, that could be it. I also,
that's what I think.
I think it could be the opposite. You know, I think it could be that obviously the Jewish diaspora and the control systems like AIPAC or, you know, the ADL, they require anti-Semitism, so-called, quote unquote.
To manufacture, there's a need, there's a demand and you need a supply.
Exactly. Right? So the worst Israel acts, the more criticism they receive, you transmute that criticism into anti-Semitism, suddenly you can show charts that show
it
has exploded 10 times. Well, it has, and it's just a reaction to the outrageous behavior of Israel. And so the more outrageous they act, the more anti-Semitism there is, the more anti-Semitism is, the more power the Jewish groups get. So I think they could have, I mean, they could have killed everybody in Gaza by poisoning the water. They could have dropped a biological weapon that only targeted Arabs genetically. I mean, there are so many ways they could have done what they did, but done it quietly and silently. They did it in the most offensive and abusive and you know, outrageous way possible.
Because they felt entitled to do it. They felt that it was right, but also I think that comes with feeling that it's wrong also and needing to get it over with so that then I've heard Keaton and Russell on Due Dissidence, excellent show, Due Dissidence. I've heard them make this point numerous times. They go, oh, you know, it's just like the Native Americans will build a statue. We'll build a statue in a few years. Oh, it was sad what had to happen, but instead of something being centuries ago, it'll be a couple decades ago. Well, and they'll go, well, this is normal.
And they'll actually say, you know, how dare those Gazans make us kill them. That's actually the,
Look at the amount of money we had to spend on the weapon. It's not very, economical for us to do it, but we had to.
Right. It hurts us. We don't want to kill them, but we have to. And we're really the victims here.
I mean, I've literally heard that argument. I'm not even making that up. I mean, that's the way some of these people, view this. And, you know, actually I have a couple videos that I want to go to, around this topic. And I guess before we go to this clip, let me remind you what Syria is like right now. They want to cleanse Syria of Christians. A community speaks of betrayal, terror, and exile. On Christmas morning in Damascus, the sound of church bells rings hollow against a backdrop of fear. In a city once proud of its religious mosaic, Syria's Christians are now living as shadows of themselves, cautious, silent, and increasingly absent. This after we spend a decade and a half overthrowing the more secular ruler and installing an ISIS commander as the president of that country.
I forget whose directive it was. I need to do deep research on this and figure it out before tonight. But it was someone. I heard Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson talk about this. He said, look, it's our stated objective by so-and-so official that we don't want a secular any secular countries in the Middle East. It's better for us if they're balkanized and ideologically controlled by the radical Muslims.
Yep.
So you look at the situation, you look at Maduro, drugs, XYZ. Why don't we go smash and grab that guy? Why don't we go take Giuliani and go put him in leg irons and make him walk around MDC? Why can't we do that? Because he's killing our people. He's killing the Christians. He's persecuting them. But, oh, no, we got to get the drug guy. We got to get the drug guy. So I don't buy into it anymore. It's all football. It's all Star Wars story. Politics is a rough ecosystem that no one understands except for the controllers. We're doing our best to barely observe what's going on.
Right. Right.
It's so layered. You see what I'm saying? There's so many factors to it all.
Yeah. And it's all BS. And I mean, at the end of the day, they're just going to do what they want to do regardless.
Right.
And I think that's sort of the most, depressing, upsetting, I don't know what the term is, but the fact that, I mean, for 2 years, it's been genocide being carried out in real time that we've all witnessed, and nobody can stop them.
Well, it's disenfranchising, right? Because as Americans, we want to be able to say we're the best people, we're the greatest people, we've done the most for the world and for ourselves, and we deserve to be like Roman citizens in a way and feel proud of our American citizenship. But they do these things in our name, and I feel like the American people are owed, like, defamation reparations from the government because they've done this in our name. They've said the American people want us to do XYZ evil, illegal war crime. So then we get full license to do it just because we say. It's a lot like us going over and taking people's oil just because we say it's ours. We make it ours, right? So we just, the young people especially, we reject that. We're not living in that world anymore. We refuse to live in that world.
100%. And we refuse to be party to it by, you know, like voting for Trump again. You know, it's like, we've sort of
do what you said you were going to do. Do what you said you were going to do. Why aren't we right now in the Arctic with the Russians exploring the reserves there, the hundreds of trillions or however much money it is in rare earths and metals and oil and gas? Why aren't we using their sub-zero extraction technique, which we don't have? We've been offered this deal. We didn't take it. Instead, we go, okay, future trillions of worth for the country. We don't want that. We want to spend $300 billion fighting you and killing Ukrainian people to fight you. Because we won't fight you ourselves. And it's just the most cowardly, pathetic, and sick thing I have ever seen in my entire observation of politics. Because we knew the prior people were bad. We knew Obama, Bush, Biden. We knew they're bad. We have hope for this guy because he said the right stuff. And then he does the opposite.
Right.
It hurts my feelings, you know?
It does.
I grew up loving the guy.
And it's also like, you know, part of the trick of being democratic or having a republic is like, well, at the end of the day, it's kind of our fault because we put these people in office. But, and that's the reason I said, like, you know, voting for Trump was a vote against war in the Middle East. It was a vote against the Ukraine war. So you can't say that this is America's fault. We voted for the people that sent us to war.
But they
deliberately voted against this. They still did it.
Right. But they scammed us, Harrison. They scammed us. They said, look, this political system is legitimate. Right. That's what they told us. And then you had people like my father come out and say, no, this isn't legitimate. Right. Like we need independent thought. We need an independent candidate. And that's why he supported Trump. That's why he still does support Trump.
Yep.
And we look at kind of a post-Trump situation. We're in the second term. And then in a few years, like someone else is going to be the president. where are the deliverables? Like, he's a businessman. Like, where are the deliverables? And the deliverables are actually there. It's just, it's war. It's death. It's economic manipulation. You can say, hey, we had to do those things because the situation was so bad. And it was like, well, if we had other options, and people are still with their hand outstretched trying to do business with the United States. And that was his stated objective, is to be a businessman, right? Yeah. So why can't we do business instead of war? But I guess war is the business.
Well, and as you pointed out earlier, to quote Putin, it's the men in black suits, the presidents, all of them apparently. According to Putin, Bush and Clinton and Obama were all on board with welcoming Russia into the family of nations.
All had great ideas.
Yeah. And every time, nope, sorry, we're keeping them on the back burner. We got to keep them in reserve so we can start a war out of nowhere in order to start World War III. Like, that's always been the plan. That's why Russia was always kept on the back burner. That's why they weren't allowed to be embraced fully as a European nation, even though they got rid of communism and, you know, purged all of their oligarchs under Putin. Still not good enough, which the Ukrainians never did, by the way. The Ukrainian oligarchs never got purged in the way that Putin purged the Russian ones.
Oh, and they got more money, too.
Yeah, maybe that's actually sort of the underlying reason why Ukraine's in war right now. But let's go to clip number four here, because this is Israeli media talking about what Israel plans to do if and when the Iranian regime falls. And again, I want to remind you before we go to this video, clip number four, they want to cleanse Syria of Christians. A community speaks of betrayal, terror, and exile. Let's watch. He says, you can bring it up on screen. Okay. I'll read it. Here, let's start it over so I can read the subtitles here. He says, I'll tell you, a year and 2 months ago, there was Operation Arrow of Syria. Okay, the regime has fallen. Do you remember what happened 20 minutes after Assad took off on a plane to Russia? The state of Israel turned Syria into one big shooting range. True, but not some beautiful Freudian mistake. I really hope that the United States will do this, and that means Iran's story, as far as I'm concerned, becomes hopeful. A significant strategic threat to the state of Israel will very soon become history. So do you see what he's saying? He's saying that when Syria fell, Israel immediately bombed the hell out of every site they could in Syria.
He liked the bloodbath. He wants to see it again. And you notice, like, oh, all the propaganda and all the footage, oh, regime change is awesome. They want to be free. The evil Ayatollah, XYZ. And the same people pushing that out, people like that guy, are the people that are like, look, it's good for our state for this to happen. And that's the real reason why it's happening, right?
Yes.
It's regime change to their benefit. Like, K. Bono, like, who benefits?
Yep.
It's the Israelis.
And, like, I would want to maybe show that video to the Iran protesters. Like, again, I get if you're under this oppressive regime, I feel for the people that do want to be free and don't want to be controlled by, a religious extremist sort of state. On the other hand, I also wouldn't want to be bombed to hell by Israel when my people fall. So, like, that's a weird thing. If they want the protests to succeed, well, they're out there going, as soon as these protests succeed, we're bombing all of them. It's like, okay, what?
Right. Well, we'll take it with a grain of salt. I had Suleiman Ahmed on last night, a Muslim gentleman, and I was talking to him about this, and we're like, what's making people mad in Iran? Like, what are the protests about? And it seems to be they're mad at the government of Iran, meaning the president, because of inflation and a very bad drought.
Mm.
It doesn't seem like it's directed towards the supreme leader in the same way as it's directed towards the Iranian president.
Interesting.
So for us in the West to see a video of a girl lighting a cigarette with a burning photo of the Ayatollah, and then it comes out that's from Canada and that's from 3 years ago. Here's the thing. I am tired of the Star Wars story. Whenever I see it, the Rebel Alliance versus the Empire. Whenever I see it, now it's a political figure telling me it, I reject it. I'm like, this is not true.
Right.
So when I see this being pushed, I'm like, hey, it's not our fight, number one. And then number two, you're asking us to commit to it morally. You're like this is our responsibility to do. But it's a guy in Israel saying it's good for his state. So why can't they just do it? Why can't they just do it? Netanyahu says he wants to have his own defense industry. Why can't they just do that now? Why do they need to wait 10 years to extract last of our wealth?
Yeah.
Right? Why can't they just do it now? This is from 3 years ago. This is from Canada. And then you got people saying this is happening now in the streets, and they actually believe it.
Yeah, and it's really hard to tell what to believe. But of course, I don't think it's a coincidence that basically as soon as Iran got a handle on the Starlink situation from OSINT Defender, Iran's digital blackout has now developed military jammers to shut down access to Starlink. Despite reports that tens of thousands of Starlink units are operating inside Iran, the blackout has also reached satellite connections. It's reported that about 30% of Starlink's uplink and downlink traffic was initially disrupted, quickly rising to more than 80%, according to the Iranian opposition news outlet
Iran wire. So,
well, that's just dumb on the Iranians' part. Why are you going to have Elon's stuff controlling all?
Well,
your...
no, it was.
Oh, it's
it
not
was sent
okay.
in. Yeah, yeah. The Israel and America was sending
oh,
in these.
Oh, he sends you internet.
Yeah,
it's so good.
As soon as
okay.
that communication to the
wow.
to the international forces gets cut off, the riots sort of die down and flame out. So it's, you know, a lot of people are pointing to this and going, yeah, as soon as the actors inside stop getting direction from Israel, they didn't know what to do anymore.
It's literally a James Bond movie over there. Literally. Like, right. like you got the IDF and the Mossad versus the IRGC and the Ayatollah and the military
secret
police.
Nuclear sites.
Yeah.
And yeah, moving uranium.
Enriched
back and
uranium,
forth.
centrifuges underground, under mountains. It's all, can't we just, we got, it's Otto Bismarck said it. German leader, World War One, a lot of people know. We got fish to our right and left, and we got weak neighbors to our north and south. Why can't we just enjoy it? We don't have to fight anybody. We have nukes, and then we have weak neighbors and then no neighbors. Why can't we just enjoy the fruits of our ancestors' labor, the patriots, the pioneers that built this place for us? Would they care about a war in a desert somewhere? No!
Especially not when their homelands are being invaded by 10 million foreigners.
Indeed, very true. And it's an attack on all fronts. We're told that we're supposed to hate foreigners, just not the ones that come in our country.
Right.
Very interesting.
Right. Does the left know that the Iranians are all just Americans that haven't gotten here yet? They want to go,
Well, it's like Randy Fine says, like another word for Palestinian is demon. Like it's perfect. You dehumanize the person and then it's not a person anymore. It's an object. It says a slave and then you can do whatever you want to it. And then that's like antithetical to the American system, but not antithetical to theirs.
Yeah.
Right? So it's very interesting.
No, it's very true. And, we just have time to go to this. I don't know if you've seen this clip 41. Let's go to clip 41. We'll do it quickly and then we'll comment on the other side. Bizarre, surreal interview. Netanyahu is asked about why they won't let journalists into Gaza. Let's watch.
One way of putting pressure on Hamas is for the world's press to report what's really going on there and to give body to the things you've been saying about what they're doing. Why don't you allow international journalists into Gaza?
I think we do, but we could do more. We probably
but
should.
Not without being with the IDF.
Yeah, well, that's not an uncommon practice, but I can tell you one thing. First of all, we don't want any journalists killed, and some have been.
Oh, how would that happen? Pause it, please. please. All right, just go back to me, please. Just go back to us, just wide shot. How would that happen? Oh, the journalists got killed. It's because of Hamas. It's so dangerous. See the dead journalists. It's like the entire world knows that you're like, well, you know, if we let him in there alone, we could probably kill him and then it would be fine. You can literally see him making the propaganda calculation in his mind. As the interview goes on, but keep playing it. It's too much.
And I think they've killed 400 journalists. I think is the recent count.
Well, that's not a real number. Amalek is all biblical genocide.
That's right. It was all Amalek.
It's
okay.
All sanitization.
Back to our God King.
Not without
our president
being with the IDF.
Our president.
Yeah, well, that's not an uncommon practice. But I can tell you one thing.
Wow.
First of all, we don't want any journalists killed, and some have been tragically killed because there's crossfire.
Could you say definitively that you will allow the international press in without the IDF?
I didn't say without the IDF, but we can have more numbers than you can see. I mean, it's so small. You can't really, it's not like a...
I've been there with the IDF. No. It is small, but it
I'm
is
good.
Much
they didn't kill me. They thought I was worth keeping
the
alive.
Independently. And if you really want to change the perception of Gaza, then you... It is not. There's a ceasefire now.
Yeah, but
in
it's
place.
Still a war zone.
We're smoking crack tonight.
We're still bombing everyone.
Think that you have something that you want to hide when you won't let the press in.
No, it's not. But it's dangerous. We just had this now, today. We had rocket fire. A few days ago, we had sniper fire. That's yesterday, actually. You know, I wouldn't be so cavalier about it.
All right, we'll take us out of this.
God forbid we close out with Bibi Netanyahu. Great show, Harris, and I really loved your interview with the AFD guy.
Wasn't that great? Folks, please do share this information. Please do support us at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself this beautiful trench knife for 50% off right now. It's 50% off. Introductory price. It's not going to last long. Supplies probably aren't going to last long. It is a absolutely beautiful upgrade to what was already
right. An
incredibly well selling and greatly appreciated knife. Life is fiery with its beauty. The new trench knife, the new version of the trench knife. It's the same old trench knife with a very cool new engraving saying life is fiery with its beauty, as well as that beautiful pinup girl on the side. Go get it now for 50% off at thealexjonesstore.com. Rex, thanks so much for being here with us.
Thank you. See you on the other side.
See you tomorrow, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.